Blog Talk Radio.
Greg DeMarco Show. The best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
You have a...
Vaginas are off.
Damn!
Are you not going to bang bang it?
Heather, for you, of course I was going to bang bang it.
You better bang it.
Vaginas are off.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
And I love you, Greg.
You're listening to The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that's not to come off really weird. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's I just got to... Third time's a charm. This is The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
Hold, Greg DeMarco. The wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. 32 fantastic Heather Lynn. The sexy and dangerous Sue Young. This is The Greg DeMarco Show.
You know, if I wasn't doing it right now, I wouldn't believe it. But Patrick O'Dowd, we are on the air. We're doing a wrestling
radio show.
Yeah, I know. It's just us.
No.
I'm just kidding. It's just
the
me
show,
and you.
Show's been canceled.
It's just a really long. It's just a 2-hour long intro that I made. By the way, you sent me a message.
Feel like it, dude.
The intro is shorter than most of them, actually.
Really? Maybe I was just so excited to be back on the air and worried
maybe.
That you'd be canceling at some point.
This intro, that intro,
intro
was 325. They range anywhere from 258 to 349. No, 350. But, so it's, you know.
That was probably about a minute away. You were like this close to canceling the show.
I was just, during that third minute,
like,
I was like,
God, no, now the intro's over.
I don't know how everybody's feeling.
Now we got to do the show.
Maybe someone is sick. I don't know. I did. The intro was great, though. I went downstairs. I got a beverage. I made sure I had the rundown up. I think I sent a text or two. You know, it's just how we roll here at the Greg DeMarco Show.
That's what we do.
We are formally informal. That's how it works.
That's true. You could have used sound bites for half of that last sentence.
Basically, you're right.
That's how we roll. That's what you do.
That's they're just too far apart. Yeah, well, I need to purge some of the sound bites is what I need to do. It pains me to say that
periodically.
But I never do it.
That's true.
Man, so we have now been on the air longer than we have in like a month.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. We're good.
It's a shameful thing. Lost your head.
It's good to know the delay is still there.
Yeah, it is always nice to have a delay.
Yeah, I mean, if the delay wasn't there and the soundbite actually played when I pressed the button, I may have to retire. I just don't know what I would do. Like, really, I just don't.
You're welcome.
Someday the blog talk will. We can talk about blog talk again, right? They exist now.
What's that?
I said we can talk about the blog talk now. They exist. So
they have always existed. Patrick O'Dowd. We've been nice and not talked about it. By the way, it never fails. But within minutes of the show starting, I begin getting messages on the Facebook and the Twitter. Like, I don't understand.
Can I get on your show? Hey, man, can I be on the show tonight? hey, Greg, you got room for me on the show tonight?
I got room for you, yes. You the show's co-host. There's always room for Patrick O'Dowd. I don't even know what it's like. It's like women. There's always room for more.
That's true.
That's right.
We go together like lamb and tuna fish.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't even.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
That's right, Mister. Fresh off a clean victory over the lobster-headed Seamus.
That was good for him. I was happy for that one.
I allowed myself to be spoiled on Raw last night. I saw a lot of. I didn't read any results, but I saw the Twitter. I followed along on the Twitter, and then
which is basically Raw without the pictures.
Basically, yeah. I still had some fun. I tweeted a little bit. I did a few of my hashtag Raw is DVR tweets. They worked out well. So yeah, it was good stuff. We have a fun show today, though. Good friend of the program, Mr. Larry Dallas, will be in with us.
Excellent.
At 11 o'clock, so top of the hour, as they say. Although for us, it's like bottom of the fourth. I don't know. And it's going to be interesting because we had a little Twitter argument back around WrestleMania time that you know, we can't just let go. So it could get heated with Larry, but that's what friends do.
Oh,
as you know,
I'll step aside. I'm just the.
You're probably going to have to save us. Is what's going to happen.
Save you.
You're probably going to have to save me.
Is he in the studio with you? Is he going to kick your ass? Like, I don't.
We don't have to pretend. Again, we don't have to pretend we're in a studio either. Like, I'm in my living room and he's not here.
I'm calling this my. It's the guest bedroom. It's my studio. I put up an AC/DC poster over here, right over the guest bed. You know when.
Wow.
There, and then got Warrior up on the other side. Right now it's in tribute,
so
but you know it'll.
So you've got an AC/DC poster, a Warrior poster, and you're talking about wrestling on the internet, and you're technically in your basement. So this is great.
Exactly. You know what? And then
living the stereotype.
Two of those things were true, but that's okay. One of those three statements was true.
The best part is that the one that's true is the fact that you're in the basement.
Yeah, it's not the AC/DC or Warrior posters.
No,
it's in
the basement.
It's where the guest room is, man. Like,
I know. I slept in that room.
I never denied that I was a basement dwelling troll. Like I've never said that I wasn't that guy.
Nice try, though.
That's why I feel like I can call out other basement-dwelling trolls who sit around and nerd rage at their computer.
See, now the truth comes out. Now,
Allie
Parker's going to be very upset at me, Patrick O'Dowd. I do not have her music for her game show.
Oh, dude.
So, that's a ways away. We might have
I was like, YouTube that bad boy. That takes like 5 seconds.
Oh, I don't have to YouTube it. It's on the computer. I just haven't uploaded it.
You've been lazy.
On the computer. Some might call it lazy. Some might call it busy. It's probably somewhere in between.
I don't know, lazy.
Well, look, but this is the great
what,
thing.
Like parenting
this is,
or this something?
This is the great thing about Blog Talk Radio, you know, the thing that we're using, that we're allowed to say we use. I can upload during the show, and that's what I'm doing right now. Which is really funny, because remember when we had RJ City on, I literally went to YouTube, cut out a song. Who the hell was it, Patrick? Dad? Who did he, it was like who was singing that he loved so much, that you loved so much? I don't even remember now.
Okay. I was like, how long ago was that? You're trying to, like we haven't done a show
in a
month.
The only thing that comes to mind is Bette Midler, but I know it wasn't Bette Midler. So who was it? I don't know. Ethel Merman. There it is.
Oh, yes. Ethel Merman.
Gentlemen, Miss Ethel Merman.
Yeah, we're not going to listen to that.
Yeah, we don't need to listen to Ethel Merman.
I forgot that. Because remember, I uploaded that thing blind, because we were in the middle of a show. So I didn't actually have the opportunity to hear the soundbite before we did that. So
that's how professionals do it.
That is, but yet people keep listening, and we appreciate the fact that they do. I can't say we wouldn't do this without you, because we'd probably just talk on the phone. So,
True. Yeah,
it'd still happen. But we do have trivia time with Allie Parker. I think it's going to be as big of a train wreck as it was last time, because we're not asking any questions of Allie. And that's kind of where things broke down. That, and I think the part where, like, her mom was trying to answer questions. So,
yeah, I think your mom did a better job, though, if I remember correctly.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly. And then next week, just to make sure everybody knows, we're going to try to go 2 in a row. I'm excited about that.
No.
It's not looking good, let's be honest. I don't know, though. I don't know if I can let down 2 women in the same show. Patrick O'Dowd, like, that would be hard to do. And it's kind of tough to pull that off. So we do have beautiful Jules Malone. Funny story about how that interview came about. We'll tell it next week when she's on the show. It has to do with Leah Von Dutch in a match they had. Miss Michelle from VerySexySports.com and SportsX Michelle on the Twitter is where you can find her. She will be joining us as well. And we're going to talk with Michelle. Michelle has done some research in the world of brain trauma and how it leads to abusive behavior. So, Patrick O'Dowd, we're going to talk about one of your favorite topics.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun next week. So,
I've been doing some reading lately, too. I just read another book that it actually talks about wrestler deaths in general, or it does the history of wrestling through wrestler deaths. And of course, Benoit is one of the ones that's mentioned. So always a fascinating topic to me. I don't know why I'm morbidly interested in it. Eddie both.
Yeah.
But,
and the Eddie thing, someday you'll put pen to paper and blow people's mind. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know about blow people's mind. I think you know where I stand on that. That's all.
I do. I do know where you stand on that. I do. I do know where you stand on that in general. So, but we have managed to blow over 10 minutes talking about nothing. That could be a record.
Well, we do.
That could be a record. So as it stands right now, Patrick O'Dowd, let's talk about the WWE. Why not? That's what people want us to talk about.
Yeah, what's going on.
We've got 3 key storylines going on right now in the company, and it's kind of hard to discern which one is the most important storyline, and maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not, we'll see. But we've got Evolution versus The Shield, Daniel Bryan versus Kane, and John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. And I pose this question to you, Patrick, even though it's the last question on the rundown, I'll pose it first. When you don't have one main event, do you have any at all?
See, that's a loaded question, because you're asking it as if what's happening right now is a bad thing. I think that maybe you don't call it a main event because it's not a main event in the traditional sense, but I think you've got 3 featured events that when going into a show now, people want to get an update and see, which is a good product in my opinion. Like that makes your show in general. Especially Raw. I mean, if you look at how Raw was structured this week, each hour paid attention to one of those 3 threads. You know, first, I think it was the end of the first hour opened the show with Daniel Bryan getting destroyed by Kane. The next segment was Evolution and The Shield having their standoff. And then we concluded the show with Bray Wyatt, the Wyatt family, and Cena. to me, what you've effectively done in the WWE, if they're really is sort of this nice serendipitous thing where, you know, is there one thing that rises above all others? No, but you've got three compelling storylines that one can end a show and everybody'd be okay, and that people would. Like when you look at the pay-per-view that's coming up, Extreme Rules, you've now got three reasons that most people want to see the show or are interested in seeing the show. And so in the end, if you want to call it a main event, I think then no, there's no main event, but you very deftly created compelling entertainment that people want to pay to see. And so they're all achieving what they want, as opposed to just saying, I'm here to see The Rock. People really are paying to see these three, what I guess you'd call them semi-mains if you don't want to give them the top bill.
Well, yeah, and lest we forget, and this is not something that's lost on me, but I think it's lost on a lot of people. This is the first pay-per-view of what is essentially the non-pay-per-view era. Like, this is barely carried by anything other than the WWE Network, which has more subscribers, by about three times as many subscribers as these pay-per-views usually do. But so we're not trying to sell pay-per-views.
Yep.
We're just trying to get people to watch special events, because DirecTV's not carrying it. I believe Dish isn't carrying it. I don't know about Time Warner. But you're not. I mean, so maybe some smaller markets are carrying it.
It's a matter of time before, if they're not dropping it, that Comcast drop them?
Because
Comcast and Time Warner and Comcast are merging anyway, so and I don't know. I have DirecTV, so I will not be. Obviously, I'll be watching it on the WWE Network if I watch it at all. I'm not even sure if I'll watch it.
Well, you have a job to do, Fadger.
What's that?
You have a job to do. You have to then talk about
the air. But there's a lovely replay that is available as well.
Yes.
Like, it's not like I need to watch it live. Like.
Right.
I can Extreme Rules as DVR if I will.
You could. I actually, that's how I watched WrestleMania. I watched WrestleMania on a delay. I was the one who tweeted the Ask WWE Network and caused websites to report that it would be available immediately, because I was the one who asked the question, because I wanted to know. I didn't even want to make news. I just wanted to know if I'd be able to watch it that night. Because I knew I had something to do. I've watched WrestleMania on delay for several years now. That's why we didn't have a show that Sunday before. Just last year, because that was the only year that we were on Sundays. And it was available immediately, and it was great, and it allowed me to do what I wanted to do. So I'm going to do that again, probably. I'll probably watch it that night and check it out. I can fast-forward pieces if I want to, and then I can continue to watch it. I can watch it later, and I've probably watched WrestleMania 30 a handful of times already.
And that's really a great thing about you've rewatched it that much, huh?
I have. It's fun to put on and do things, and it's actually a good show, and it's aging well already. With the network, I think things age faster because you can watch them more.
Well, it's so funny because I watched it once. I watched it mostly live. I watched it a little. There was some hiccups with the stream as it happened, which I don't know if it was on my end with like my internet or if it was with the site itself, but I do know that I was watching a little bit behind other people who are watching it live. But that's the only time I've watched it. I can clearly see that the two of us are using the network in very different but yet wonderful ways. Because I still the newest program, the newest show that I've watched outside of WrestleMania on the WWE Network. Can you guess what do you think? What do you think it would be? What year? You can just throw a year out there.
I want to make sure I didn't miss something here. So restate the question.
The most recent show that I've watched. Like, what year do you think is the most recent show that I've watched?
And it's a WrestleMania?
No, any. I've watched nothing but pay-per-views, really.
Oh, okay. 1992.
92, you are correct, sir.
Of course
did
I
tell you?
It's you. No, you may have, but that's the year of the infamous Royal Rumble, is it not?
Yes, but that's not the pay-per-view. I texted you this. So I last the most recent thing I've watched was 92 SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 92 SummerSlam, which most people know for the main event. It's when the over there in Wembley Stadium. So,
right, which the main event on the WWE Network, which match do they actually show as the main event?
The announced team, of course, says Savage and Warrior is the main event. However, the last match to go on, in the match order, the last match of the show is Bret Hart and the British Bulldog.
Interesting, because I believe when it showed here in the States, quote unquote live, of course, that Sunday night, Savage and Taker went on last, or Savage and whoever.
Savage and Warrior. Taker wrestled Kamala.
Oh, of course he did. So Savage and Warrior went on last. And so they've put it back in its original form for the network, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, really just makes the show feels a little more organic, I guess. I'm sure it's negligible to whoever, but like the reasoning as to how they got on last is one of those things where you see that and you're just like, wow, that was kind of a cool thing for them to do.
Well, yeah, and of course it makes sense where they were and to go on last. What's really funny is that I'm the guy who watches Impact. I'm the guy who watches Impact. I just want to put that out there right now. I'm the one who watches the show. I'm kidding.
I watch Impact.
Yeah, you, me, and some other guy in his basement. We all watch Impact Wrestling. But I noticed when in like the second hour, the fans sitting in the front row were different than the fans were in the first hour, because that's when they switched taping days. Like, I noticed these things. So. You can probably see people leaving the stadium at the end of the main event, and then yet they're all there during the quote unquote main event. So I would pick up on those things, but I understand where you're coming from.
So,
however, the topic at hand is of course what. So of those three storylines, which one is the main event, Pat? Which one's going on last? Which one is the most important story in the way that WWE is telling it?
Right now I would say it's a toss-up between the Evolution versus the Shield storyline and the John Cena versus Bray Wyatt storyline. I think those are the top two out of those three. And that's not to knock Kane/Stephanie versus Daniel Bryan. I just think that this is a half step down for what Daniel Bryan was doing leading up to WrestleMania. I think it's Evolution and the Shield. I think that, you know, Orton, Triple H, and Batista coming back together as Evolution, it would surprise me by no stretch at all, like not at all, if they are the last thing that we see coming out of Extreme Rules.
And here's, I got two comments, two thoughts about that. Number one, I don't think the WWE has told us that. I just think it's the one that we're the most into, in my opinion, like judging by the reactions. Like, I go on the Twitter, and I see all these reactions to Evolution versus Shield, and then 5 minutes later, all these people complaining about it being the main event. And they're different people, but it's like, well, that's why. I think it's our perception. I don't think they're telling us what's in the main event. I think we're choosing what's in the main event. And it's not really a knock on Daniel Bryan and Kane either, because it's, you know, there can be three, you know, we have three main event quality things going on right now, like you said. Three reasons to watch the pay-per-view, which they haven't even given. I'm going to keep calling it a pay-per-view. I know it's not, but that's an old habit that's going to really die.
Well, technically we are paying something to
That's true.
It.
You are correct. Time. It's a pay-to-view, not a pay-per-view.
Pay-to-view.
But here's my thing. Like, people complained for years that the WWE wasn't giving us new stars. And now we're complaining because one guy's not in the main event when we have three new guys in the main event. So shouldn't we be happy that the Shield is in the main event? Talking about fresh, building up fresh stars. Like, this is the group that was going to break up before WrestleMania. Now they're main eventing as faces against the modern day, you know, best faction. And I say modern day, I'm talking about days that started post-Horsemen. The Evolution is basically, in the eyes of most wrestling fans today, better than the NWO was. And better than, I don't even know what else. I mean, aces and eights, that's laughable. So it's, you know, I don't even know what to compare it to.
Well, and Evolution sort of was the end of that sort of era with factions. You know, they sort of were the cap to the whole deal. You know, the thing, I to go back to your point about Bitchy wrestling fans are going to bitch. Like, it's just what they're going to do. They're going to find something. When you look at the product that's being put out right now, if you are a smarky, smart, quote-unquote smart internet wrestling fan that is, as you talked about, wanted something fresh and wanted something new, how can you not be happy?
I know.
With post-WrestleMania. I mean, you look at... And I'm not just talking about these three. Like, these three are, you know, you've got these young guys or sort of new to the main event guys going up against established guys. The odds are some of them are going over or at least going to look like $1 million doing so. And then let's just downshift a little bit and you look at for better or for worse, you know, I'm kind of glad Christian got hurt because now you've got this excitement that's surrounding, you know, what everybody assumes will be Bad News Barrett going over Rob Van Dam.
Right.
And this is an assumption a lot of people are predicting. It wouldn't surprise me if Rob, fresh into a month from his return, wins this tournament and goes on to challenge Big E. It would be a little weird from the face heel dynamic, but whatevs. You're doing a tournament to determine a number one contender.
Right.
It doesn't really matter.
And it put over Big E.
But you looked at those matchups and you knew exactly where they were going and who they were going to make look good in different ways. And you took Cesaro and you made Cesaro look solid. You made him look like he was going to take care of Rob Van Dam until Jack Swagger came back. And that's two very strong in-ring workers that are going to go facing up against each other that I hope will elevate each other in the way that you saw people from – you know, the mid 90s do for each other in the sort of the Jericho, Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and I'm talking about their time in WWE, not when they were buried in WCW. Mm-hmm. You've got Bad News Barrett that people are very happy about. Like, there's so much to be good about. And even though I didn't love how they were debuted, you've got, you've got a new Divas champ out there. You've got the three top divas right now in the company outside of the Bellas are fresh from NXT or relatively fresh from NXT. Like, there's a lot of new to get excited mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, they are right now the top three storylines that we're talking about are established guys elevating other newer guys. Like, that's basically – I think Daniel Bryan is more established than people like to admit.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, he won his first world title, like, 3 years ago. So
but it was always done with that whole sort of flukish sort of view, and then he turned heel, and,
right.
like, there was so much badness
He's not,
around it.
He wasn't a superstar now. He wasn't a superstar then that he is now. That's for damn sure.
I will say, I read a really good article on Bleacher Report, of all things, talking about this John Cena Bray Wyatt story, mm-hmm. and that, you know, we talk all the time of feuds that elevate both people's game. I really feel like there's been a strong elevation in game for both of these guys.
I agree.
That's just been, like, I read that article and I was like, you know, this is very true that this idea that this character of Bray Wyatt has actually given us a little bit of a compelling John Cena as this character looks at himself and tries to figure out what does he really stand for, and seeing Bray in his head,
right?
Like, it's just
I'll completely change it a little bit, but here's the brilliance of Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt in one, I don't know, 5-8 minute promo did more to cause people to want to go use the WWE app than the company has done in 12 months. Like, he made the app seem important.
Yeah.
When he was talking about getting people to vote and why they should vote and what their vote means, no one has ever, it's always been people saying, vote for me, I want to face Big E or whatever. And
for
now
Claire,
you've got...
Put us in a cage.
And now you've got, you know, Bray Wyatt goes out there and he's telling people how to use their vote and what their vote means. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've never cared so much about one of these votes. Like, it
did
just
you
that's
vote, Grant? You wouldn't vote, didn't you?
I don't even have the app.
Don't lie.
But I do have the app so I can watch the network on my phone. But because I can, it's great. But no, I did not go vote. But I was interested to see what happened. Now, the way they booked it, you could have done regardless of who won the vote. But that's neither here nor there. And I was very happy to see the amount of votes that Luke Harper got. But the whole issue about you know, the network and what they're doing with the new stars, like the fact they're not building pay-per-views, I think it's great. I think, like you said before, like they're building new stars. They don't have to worry about selling pay-per-views. They really are kind of ushering in a new era. And it really started with John Cena and him talking about the new stars have to go through him. So yep. I agree with you. I don't see how people can complain, except for the fact that they're always going to complain. And then we shouldn't worry about what they think because they're always going to complain.
Exactly.
So that's
haters
where I stand.
Gonna hate.
And they will. Haters and gonna they will always yep. hate. They will. And they will always hate. And there's just nothing, you know. Nothing that we can do about that. So, excellent. Well, we've hit the time, Patrick Riddell. We're 30 minutes into the show. So
well
it's time to take a musical break and go get ourselves a guest.
Excellent.
So, once I find the mid-show music. So, you have three choices, Patrick O'Dowd. We've never changed the choices. We've added a song here and there, but we've never really changed the choices. As we approach the three-year mark, which is coming up soon, we have the same three choices as always, Patrick O'Dowd. Which do you prefer?
Let's hear from the Steiners today.
There you go. We'll hear, and the way the show set up this week, we'll probably hear all three. But the Steiners
sure.
it is. We'll be right back, hopefully, with our good friend Larry. I know he'll be on because he just texted me. So with our good friend Larry Dallas.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd on the all-new Powerhouse Radio. Patrick, I need to remember at some point to talk about all the new shows on the network before the press release even goes out, Patrick O'Dowd.
Wow,
put
the network
hear.
Over. Put
right.
it over.
It's been I'm just rusty. I didn't do it before.
You should be the Barry Horowitz for this company. You should be down flat on your back giving it the 1, 2, 3.
Maybe
put that
I
guy
should.
Over.
Maybe I should. But
let's go, Dwayne Gill.
Go down. Gilbert.
No. Gilbert won a match.
That's true. Dwayne Gill, I think, went like 7-something years without ever winning a match or something crazy like that. I don't know.
Exactly.
But we're wasting time when we have a guest on the line because...
It's time!
That sound, Patrick O'Dowd, means, of course, we have achieved guest. That guest is on hold right now, but it gives me my... great pleasure to welcome back to the program, I believe, for the third time. Fourth time because he called in once, but third time as an actual guest on the show. Good friend, Dragon Gate USA, Dragon Gate itself, among many other promotions, Larry Dallas. Larry, welcome back.
Thank you. Did I get the Michael Buffer entrance? That's pretty high class.
You did get the Michael Buffer entrance, and we try. We try to do that, and
I got the Bruce Buffer entrance, right? That's the UFC announcer.
Yes, you are right. The Bruce.
Shame on me.
Bruce Buffer, which right now is probably the more famous of them. I mean, Michael Buffer will go down in history, but the hot guy right now is Bruce Buffer. He's the UFC.
Yeah, he announces for that fake sport, though, man. We don't count that in the real world.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with you, to be honest. I mean, boxing and UFC in general, I'm not going to say they're fake, but they damn sure know what they're doing. They put these fights together, and they know... They've learned a lot from the world of professional wrestling, and Dana White's the first one to admit it. So
imagine after every fight, though, if the wrestlers just hugged and was like, "It was all for the show, man. Thanks for promoting the fight." After every,
I know,
was like, "Yeah, man,
you know,
smack us in the face to fix it."
But yet the people in boxing and MMA just roll with it and buy it the next time, and then they call us stupid for liking wrestling.
Right. Because every Floyd Mayweather fight ends so happily for everybody.
Exactly. Didn't Pacquiao just have a rematch this weekend from when he lost on purpose? I don't know.
But, you get more money out of the rematch, brother.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's smart business. It's smart business. It's just not a business I contribute to any longer, that's for sure.
Money's in the chase. That's what they always say. The money's in the chase.
That's true, and in a lot of different worlds. So the best kind of way to kick things off is probably the least fun or maybe the most fun. Someone do it anyway, because as you know, we had a little fun on Twitter a couple months back. That was a little critical, Dragon Gate USA. And you were definitely defending them, which I think is fair. And my show and my column in general are obviously one-sided, and it's only fair that you get to state your side. And so I've argued that, you know, when Dragon Gate USA doesn't bring in the imports, I said that it wasn't as special, and it was just kind of the same as everything else. And I know you disagree, so I want to give you the opportunity to disagree.
I should first say that I understand from a and I got talked to about it, but I understand from a fan standpoint that when a Japanese talent doesn't come over, that it's a disappointment, and I completely understand that. I guess to me, you know, when a guy like Ricochet is. See, having lived that life for 3 months, man, and having had an opportunity to go back, it's unfortunately not working out on both ends. You know, when you're over there, you know, there's people that go over there, and they're over there for one tour, and there's people that go over there, and they're stars over there, you know. And, you know, a guy like Ricochet is a champion over there. You know, he's the first Gaijin champion, and Gaijin means foreigner to people that don't know, and I'm sure most people that listen to this do know. But, you know, that's a pretty big deal. And Ricochet is international more than he's actually in America. And you got a guy like that, and you got a guy like Uha Nation who's doing 3 month tours at a clip, and you know Rich Swann who did 3 month tours at a clip, and you got a guy like myself who, whether the fans like it or not, you know the Dragon Gate office considers part of the family, and it's just, you know, to me, I consider myself when it's all said and done, you know, I'm actually staring at a wall with a picture of me and Naruki Doi in a dojo and a Robert jacket on the wall, you know. I consider myself a Dragon Gate guy. I understand the fan standpoint of it. You know, they want to see Shima, and they want to see Tozawa, and they want to see Genki, and they want to see Doi, and they want to see Shingo. So I understand both ends of it. It's just, to me, you know, Dragon Gate, to me, is more than just some company that you work for WrestleMania weekend. It's a company that when I go out and I put on a baseball hat, it's not a Met hat or a Nick hat, it's a Dragon Gate hat, and it's know, wear a Dragon Gate jacket. You know, and for a couple of us, it's a company that we believe in, we represent, because we've lived there and we've been a part of that. So, but I understand from a fan standpoint that if it's not Japanese wrestlers, it's not Japanese talent. But, you know, there's a point now in this business where I feel like guys like the Young Bucks, guys like Ricochet, guys like UHA Nation, guys like, you know, Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov and Prince Devitt, you know, if they were over here doing independent companies every couple of months, people call them independent wrestlers. But there's a big difference between a guy like Ricochet. I'm not even going to put myself in that league. There's a big difference between a guy like Ricochet that's doing four or five shows a night, which
right.
is the same amount of shows that a WWE guy does in front of roughly the same amount of fans. Their big shows draw 10,000. You know, Corkin Hall is like a 3,000-seat arena. You're doing these big arenas, and you're wrestling four or five shows a night doing that style, and they call them independent wrestlers, and they're not. They're professional wrestlers that occasionally are back in America to wrestle. But I understand from a fan standpoint how my view would be, but just from being in it, and I guess having some sort of pride in it and a horse in that race that I take pridefully, it bothers me when I see it, but I have to not have the myopic view of being on the inside and understand how it looks like from the outside. So I understand both sides of it, but to me, to call a guy like Ricochet an independent professional wrestler is kind of insulting, because he's a Dragon Gate wrestler that occasionally comes back to America. Same with the Young Bucks. You know, they're New Japan Tag Team Champions. That's a major wrestling company, just not an American wrestling company. And people have this view of WWE being the key to success or being what you judge a human being on. But a lot of people leave WWE and go to New Japan and go to other places and view it as major league, because the crowds that you're in front of are major league. It's just, you know, you're playing Euro ball or you're playing Japanese ball. But, you know, in pro wrestling sense, you know, wrestling in Japan takes a lot more technical skill than it does to be a, you know, WWE wrestler. That's probably not the most politically smart thing to say, but it's just facts. You know, you're killing yourself a lot more doing that style than you are WWE style. Does that make WWE style smarter? Yes. Does it make Japanese style harder and more athletic and more intricate? Absolutely. The people in the big leagues are watching those tapes. It's not the other way around. Yeah. There's no
and they steal from it. I mean, you can tell by watching TV,
absolutely.
They're stealing from it.
Look, you watch Raw to learn how to work on TV. You know, you watch Raw to know how to face a hard cam and how to do everything for TV and how to be a TV wrestler. You watch Dragon Gate stuff and you watch Ring of Honor stuff and you watch those companies learn how to wrestle. And I think there's a very distinct difference. I think that people have a different view of how that actually means, and I think the business itself is far too negative about that aspect of it. But I think that's every business, every industry. Like, it's just when you're involved in that, it bothers you more. You know.
Mm-hmm. So where do we as a fan, where do we get it wrong? Are we getting it wrong in the sense that we're just making the assumption that if we're taking the WWE point of view? Or
I don't think you get it wrong. I think people get it wrong in people have this assumption of what Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff's changed the game. It's social media now, so wrestlers are more attainable and far too many people, I'm guilty of it too, put too much of their lives out there. So people then feel like they know more than they do. You know, it's like, oh, you make $25 and you're losing money. Okay. You know, listen, you read an autobiography from like the 1970s wrestler, they talk about their first payday being $25. The Rock's entertainment company. He was the highest grossing actor in Hollywood. It's called $7 Entertainment because he made $7. He had $7 in his pocket the first night. He said he made $25 in Memphis. All those stories are true. But where people get it wrong is thinking that there's only one place to make money. Like, you know, there's other places to be a professional wrestler at on a successful full-time level. And it's just that everyone's got this myopic view of what that entails. And I would say, like, people shouldn't think about it too much, man. Like, I don't watch the Knicks play. And when Carmelo Anthony misses a shot, go, that man's making $24 million. He missed that shot.
Right.
I was like, God damn, man, we lost. And people put too much emphasis on what they assume somebody's making to do something. I don't care if the Mets have 200 fans in the arena tonight. I care that they lost 2-0. You know, like, you watch the game, man, the fucking stands are empty. It's an 60,000-seat arena or whatever the hell that stadium holds. I don't sit
right
there and go, man, there's no one in the fourth row. Like, this is just garbage. You know, David Wright's swinging that bat for no reason. He's rubbing that ball out for no reason. I look at it and go, you know what, man, I want the Mets to win. I want that guy to be successful. And I think on wrestling, for whatever reason, maybe because it's such a subculture of anyone that was a wrestling fan growing up dealt with that, like, it was our thing, not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You get on that viewpoint of, like, having to analyze it to justify our fandom, where
mm-hmm.
you know, I watch stuff on the network from, like, 1985, and it's like I'm watching it for the first time. And if you look at, like, a 1985 Starcade or something like that, that whole crowd is filled with adults that are going nuts for, like, a monkey flip. And, I mean, absolutely apeshit for,
yeah.
like, a monkey flip. And it's like, is the business better now because people know more? Or was it better back then where, like, they knew, but they believed, but everyone just kind of suspended the disbelief because they didn't know everything? And I think that's all aspects of entertainment now, though, you know?
Yeah,
it's a game. It's record sales. It's this, that. No one just views the art for what it is anymore. They want to know how much the person got paid to do that. It's like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, does that really matter as much? It's entertainment, man. You know, that's just me.
Yeah.
But that's
no,
just a
I
different
agree with
viewpoint
you.
Of it.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I wouldn't have any. No one would know who I was, even out of the small group of people that do, if it wasn't for the internet. Yet I might be willing to give it all up just to be able to watch wrestling as a fan fully again.
Right.
The thing. Like, it has. When people say the internet has somewhat ruined wrestling, I can't argue against that, even if I'm part of the problem, because I agree with that point, and I think Patrick would as well. So it's just something that we've become a part of.
I think a lot of fans don't know how to separate the entertainment part from the internet part. Like, they just, it's like you said, Greg, you talked about, so many people seem to have this, like, desire to feel like they're deeper inside the business than they really need to be, and then it takes away from the fun that they used to have. And
but it's no different than sports. I mean, this is why we'll look at 20 different guys' draft list. And we didn't do that 20 years ago. You know, we didn't care who Mel Kiper said was going to be the number one draft pick. But I think sports fans sometimes do a better job of still allowing themselves to enjoy the product, and wrestling fans don't always do that.
But I think, like, a lot of times when I do interviews, you know, guys that don't know me, it's the first time, they're like, you know, managing is a dying breed, you know, it's Paul Heyman, it's Zeb Coulter, like, why are there no good managers left? And I always sit there and go, well, there's not really many good managers out there. And they're always kind of shocked by their answer, but it's also because, like, nowadays you got, like, you know, probably, like, 500 independent promotions, and you got very few actual good wrestlers out there, right? Or, you know, so maybe some people that would have been fans or would have been managers, would have been this or would have been that, they pay their $2,500, $3,000, and they get put on a show after a couple of months, and the show draws whatever they draw, and this guy goes on Facebook and says he's a pro wrestler and then wants to talk all the insides of the business, and he has all these fans, and he gets a following because of this or because of that. And it's like, I was in New Orleans, you know, for WrestleMania weekend, and you're on Bourbon Street, and New Orleans was different than, like, New York. New York sucks things up. Like, you didn't really know when you were walking around New York that it was WrestleMania week. New Orleans, you knew wrestling was in town. You walk down Bourbon Street, man, it's wrestling fans all over the place. And the waitresses at every restaurant were asking you, there's all these things. And you're out with people. And we're out the night before WrestleMania. And you got a bunch of Dragon Gate guys, you got a bunch of Ring of Honor guys, you got some NXT guys. The whole week on Bourbon Street, all these guys that are on a certain level of wrestling are out there. And we all got along. And we all have a certain respect for each other, because to make it to a certain level, while other people might not, like, listen, I can't go out to a local bar and see some guy now, and he's going to be like, they're going to be like, oh, man, you know, so you're on that TV stuff? Yeah, maybe I'm not on WWE Raw tonight, but you worked hard enough to get to a certain level, and when you're at that level, there's this different level of thinking. And the problem with the internet is not so much a different level of thinking, it's that people that never got to that level of thinking talking like they understand how everything works. And if you interviewed me 2 years ago, I'd have a different thought process than I do now, because you go through more things, you meet more people, you learn new things, and like that's the difference. You know, people think they film a couple of shows and they work for some company and they understand a bit because some guy decides to sit there backstage one day and talk to them on a personal level. Doesn't mean they understand everything that goes on or everything about everything. That's just one person's opinion. You have to be around it and like integrate yourself into it. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, man, and like it's so complex, and I would have never thought it was this complex until I got so deep into it, and that's the thing. You know, you don't understand WWE until you go to WWE TV, and then you're sitting there and you're watching it happen. You're like, holy shit, this is a completely different level than anything I've ever done before. You know, you go to Japan, you're like, holy shit, this is a completely different lifestyle than I've ever lived before. You know, you get in the car and you drive somewhere for money and a payday or whatever you get, and it's like, wow, this is completely different. I thought, well, everything's different. You have to experience it first. And it's egotistical to say you don't understand because you haven't done it, but you have to literally have gotten there and lived it to have an understanding of what it is. Because when you see the scope of it all, you're like, holy, you're like, Jesus, it's just another level of things that you've never imagined.
Yeah, wow, that's some really good stuff, Larry. Like,
I have friends that is like, you know, when I first started out, the guys I was riding with are now main eventing pay-per-views, or the guys I was riding with are now in NXT. Mm-hmm. So, you know, guys that I rode with are main eventing Japanese shows. You know, I've just seen things on so many different levels, and I've been there, and it's just like, the things I thought 4 years ago, I don't think now, because there's so much that goes into everything. You know, you go to Raw and you watch Raw and you're like, man, that episode of Raw. You're backstage at Raw, man. There's production trucks and there's trailers, there's catering and this and there's that, and there's 20 people running around. You're sitting back and you're like, holy shit, man, this is work, you know? And like, people just don't understand it. And it's just when you're there and you do it, changes your perspective on it, and I can't fault other people for not knowing that. But it's like when people say, like, you know, like, and again, it's not even about me. When you say, like, a Ricochet is an independent wrestler, it's like that guy gets on a bus and goes, does a show, and then gets on a bus and goes back to the dojo and works out and gets the next morning and goes to a show. And same thing with WWE guys. It's like, you know, there's just so much you think you understand it, but until you've actually been in that situation where you're getting up and you're traveling, you're doing this and doing that, and you have to work out because it's part of your job and doing other things, like, there's a lot more that goes into a 3-minute match than just 3 minutes. And that's just my viewpoint of it and my jadedness of it and, you know, the things that you deal with. You know, you see the negativity all the time and you can't respond to it sometimes because it's like, you should know if you respond to it, it becomes a story and you're just like, ah, I just got to eat that one on the chin. But same time, I just want to be like, proud. Like, you don't know anything, you know? So you just want to post, like, your paycheck for the weekend and be like, it's not what you think it is. Or you want to post this, but you know what? Sometimes the illusion is just best left unsaid. But it's so annoying now in the Twitterverse that, like, daily you're met with the criticisms daily by people. And it doesn't affect you, but, like, you see it every day. It's just, like, it's a constant reminder of, like, you know, you guys watch Legends House yet?
No, I haven't yet.
I haven't either, no.
Gary Busey was on it. And he was talking about, like, the Mr. Joshua shit from Lethal Weapon. And Roddy Piper got all pissed off. He's like, you're just an actor. No one comes up to you in the street and goes, Mr. Joshua, why don't you light your hand on fire? He's like, everyone comes up to me and expects Roddy Piper 24/7. And that's the difference. An actor gets judged by a role per movie, and then they go back to being that person. Pro wrestlers are expected to be that character 24/7. But if you live that life 24/7, you'll never understand. And that goes for independent wrestlers, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that think they do. They don't. Having to live up to that expectation of being that person every time you go out.
Yeah, it's almost like fans are good at suspending. It's okay. It's like fans are good at suspending disbelief, Patrick, but we're not good at bringing disbelief back later.
We make fun of this all the time, but there's plenty of people that have the "it's still real to me" sort of mentality when they run into, you know, wrestlers outside of things. Well, hell, you even look at the way some fans, like, there's also this, you talk about the internet, there's also a weird sense of entitlement that has seemed to come with this, like, newfound accessibility to not just wrestlers, but to like everybody, like you, but like, I think wrestlers in particular, like you'll hear, or I'll see like people be like, well, such and such was a total asshole to me and blah, blah, blah. But I like, you know, tweet to them all the time and so on and so forth. Like that somehow
right.
means that, you know, you run into them in a restaurant and they have to, you know, become Larry Dallas, the character, as opposed to, you know, Larry Dallas eating his steak dinner, whatever he's doing.
It's like Larry Dallas is in New Orleans for three shows, but mm-hmm. Lawrence had to get there, and then Lawrence slept in a hotel. Lawrence did what he had to do. And it's like, I don't go up to Carmelo Anthony if I saw him in New York City and be like, hey, man, you suck last night. And like, but, like wrestling fans have this, like, sense of, like, and it's just Twitter, man. Like, everyone deals with it now, you know? Like, there's crazy freaking 14-year-olds in the Netherlands that are saying they're terrorists because – It's like you're driving in a car, you know, and some dude cuts you off to get like space in front of you at a light. It's like he would never do that at a supermarket, but he's in this little like aluminum / metal plus rubber being that like supposed to protect him from the world, you know. But meanwhile, like maybe I just got like told I'm dying from cancer in 3 months. And I got nothing to live for. You're just the last straw on my back. I can get out of this car with a bat, smash your window. That guy's have no idea what happened. Like, that's like Twitter. Twitter is just like this little bubble that everyone gets to live in where you can say whatever you want to, but there's no real consequence. It's like being 3 years old, you know? You're never going to, no matter what you do wrong, it's just a life lesson. And like, Twitter's just, I can say whatever I want to. It's not going to affect me. Like, fuck you, bro. Like, you know, why do I have to read that shit at 10 a.m.? You know, I'm just getting up, had a good night the night before, you know? Get some breakfast, I check my phone, see you get a tweet, like, oh, I wonder what this is, and it's like, you really suck, or whatever it could be, you know? Usually it's worse. Some of them are funny. I like creativity. I like creative negativity. Like this one guy said one time, like he tagged me on Facebook post, he said, Larry Dallas deserves a Tony Award for his portrayal of a straight man on a day-to-day basis. That was brilliant. That took effort. It was timely because the Tony Awards just happened. It was a really good insight. I respect the shit out of that. You know, you suck, you're a mark. That's not even cool, man. It's not even funny. You're going to insult me, I want like 5-star insults. If I have to have a 5-star match every time I go out there, I want 5-star insults. I think it's only fair.
Sounds right. Well, let's get away from negativity a little bit. Let's talk about you, Larry. Well, no, if you remember, the last time, I think it was the last time you were on the show, you even acknowledged it. We were talking about managers, which I am one of those people that loves a good manager on a show. But we brought up talking, you know, you were managing at the time. We talked about the possibility of you wrestling and even brought up the name of the most famous person to transition from the manager to wrestler, that being Diamond Dallas Page.
Right.
Are you in the process of making that transition? Are we going to see you in the ring? What's going on?
I had a couple of matches. I had a match with me again, which, you know, I give her full credit. You know, she's one of the best female wrestlers in the world. So, you know, it was actually like it was much better than I ever would have expected. I ended up having a street fight. My first match ever was a street fight in FIP, which was just like absolutely brutal match, you know. Took a lot of shit I probably shouldn't have taken, like a lot of brutality, you know. And I had a match with Mia Yim. I've had a TLC match. I have the Bahamas Championship in FIP right now, so I defend that on a somewhat regular basis. The Tyree Pride belt. If any of the old school NWA fans know what that is, so I've had a couple of matches. I think in life, like, you know, if you're a really good salesman, you know, you shouldn't go into construction and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I think a guy that's been pretty successful, we sat down, we had a conversation one day, is like, you know, look at what your biggest asset is and you ride that out. You know, I'm much better manager than I'll ever be a wrestler. As a matter of fact, if I wasn't a manager and I was a wrestler, you would have probably never heard of me because I'm not going to do double moonsaults, I'm not going to do those things. But I have found value in having matches in the right situations. And I've found that I don't embarrass myself too much doing it. So when the time is right, you do it. And when it's not right, you don't do it. And I just think that's part of just part of everything. That's just my opinion personally of how I handle my own career. You know, if you're going to be a bench player playing a certain position, but you can start at second base, be a second baseman. And, you know, I'm a starter as a manager, and I'm probably a utility player at best as a wrestler. So wrestle when the time's right, but otherwise ride what you're strong at. And that's just how I feel about the situation.
But I will say this before we shift gears again. When you're a successful manager and people know who you are, I think you're a better utility player than random wrestler no one knows who they are, because they
right.
just have a reason to care. And you create
right.
that with
like,
what you've
right.
done as a manager.
Right. When I have matches, the crowds really into it. It usually involves me dying. I always joke with people that I don't take many bumps, but when I do, I die. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just something that you kind of accept with the role, but again, you know, not a lot of people that are quote-unquote managers on the indies could do that either. So, it's just again, it's just about being comfortable with who you are and just knowing your role. It's about being the best. I think everyone should want to be the best at whatever they do. You know, mm-hmm. so be the best at what you're doing and then fit in where you can, where it works. And that's how I try to play the manager role, is that, you know, I add much more to the table that way, and I can also get in there when I need to. But when I get in there when I need to, at least that means something more than it would be if I'm doing it every week. And I just think that's, you know, don't overstay your welcome. You know, make everything count. That's what they always tell you. That's what
yep.
I try to do.
So I gotta know something real quick, because you said you every time you get in the ring, it seems like you're dying. Now, when you say like you're dying, are you talking like Jim Cornette falling off a scaffold, sort of dying, or what's the worst that's happened to you in the square circle?
I've I'll give you three answers. So I took a Van Terminator once, which really really sucked, and then I had someone dive off a balcony. Threw a table on me in the same match, right? And you're laying on that table, man. You're in a shitload of pain anyway for the match you're going to do. And this guy's just falling on top of you. Like, there's no way that doesn't suck, you know? Like, that's painful shit, man. I'd rather take a body slam than have someone dive off the balcony through a table through me, you know? But unfortunately, when you get in the ring and it means something, you know, you usually end up in situations like that. Now, other things. You know, I've had me and Yim kicked really hard. You get kicked in the back by Mia Yim, that's not fun. You know, like, it hurts. And a 450 splash, again, it's someone flipping up above you, and you're watching this body crash down on you. Not fun, you know? And then I've also fallen off the top rope through a guardrail that was kind of braced on a couple of things.
Oof.
Again, you're falling on metal. Not fun. You know, and the thing I've learned is, like, you know, like, the things that are not, like, certain things, man, everything is easy. Like, they're not that easy, man. It's like, some things just suck. And like, that's when I'm getting killed. Like, when you haven't gotten touched for a year and a half and you pissed the whole world off, like, man, you're going to get touched. You know, there's no simple, it's not contrary, you don't get 30 lives. You know, you're getting a fatality every time.
Right.
And that's pretty
that's
much
true.
Like that's pretty much the difference. You know, you're not getting one bullet and falling down. Like, you know, you're taking a fatality. You're Mortal Kombat style, and every time you get yours,
it's part of the character. Basically, it's part of
life.
Character.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. So maybe it is better to be the nameless guy on the undercard who doesn't have to do that. He can he can get the body slam, but they don't
couple
care.
Couple body slams, clothesline, you're done. Beautiful life.
But they don't care, and you make them care. So it's the price you pay.
Right.
You shared something a while back, and I don't know if you've ever talked about it publicly, so I'm not going to say it's exclusive or anything like that. But before you went to Japan, you know, there was something else that could have happened that could have potentially changed the course of your career, even your life. So I'll let you kind of share it with our listeners. What did you almost do? What did you audition for before going to Japan?
I had made the final 50 rounds of Survivor, so I was about, you know, I was 50 people away from being like the final. What would that be? So there's like 18 people on the island. So I was 32 people away from being on the show to win $1 million. You know, it came down to this is how life works out. You know, at the same time that Dragon Gate came to me and offered me Japan, I had CBS calling me like once every couple of weeks and, you know, wanting me to possibly for Survivor, and just, you know, it never materialized. A big part of it was I had done a reality show before I even got into wrestling on MTV with 50 Cent that some people know about, most don't. And, you know, it was funny, man. They were like, you know, you talk so well, we think you're an actor, or we think that you're someone that's trying to be famous. And I went back afterwards with, like, you know, just done 10,000 in Japan and, you know, Japanese magazines and all that stuff. I was like, I never needed you to be famous. Like, you know, I just really wanted $1 million to disappear, you know. but that was just, you know, it's just funny. And I learned something about entertainment life in that regard, because, you know, you're 24 years old or 25, whatever I was in MTV called, and they offered me a reality show. I'm like, fuck, man, like, you know, it's TV, you know, maybe I can make some money, and you just take. And I didn't really have any expectations or understanding of what my actual worth might be or what my ceiling was. So I took the low offer, you know, and then years later I got the high offer, but having done the low offer, it kind of built a case that maybe you were just some guy that wanted to be a reality star. And really all it ever was is money. And then the wrestling thing was like, oh, you're trying to be famous. It's like, wrestling is a passion. It's something I always wanted to do. It has nothing to do with, one has nothing to do with the other. Yeah, would it benefit me? Absolutely. But it benefits me just as much as some other idiot that, you know, like Johnny Fairplay that does it and then goes and gets a TNA contract. Difference was I was doing wrestling before I did Survivor. And it just, you know, it just never materialized. It got really, really close. You know, it would have changed my career. It would probably change my career a lot. You know, I would have, but at the same time, like, you know, it would have changed my career in different ways too. And there's something to be said about, you know, being one of the boys and making a town and traveling and doing things the quote unquote right way. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. A lot of people like, get your money. Yeah, listen, $1 million been awesome. But the experiences I had would never have compared to, you know, 39 days and being a millionaire and to have nothing that I have right now, you know. What I've had in life has been priceless. What I would have had would have been $1 million, and, you know, you get what you pay for. To me, priceless will always be worth more than $1 million. If they called again, I would do it. But there's a part of me now that, like, when they've contacted me afterwards or when other things have come up, I'm always just like, this is what I do, and, you know, if it doesn't benefit me financially, benefit me this way, it's not worth me doing, because I just learned the value of making the decisions you make worth it, you know, just being on, what was the old story about TNA guys, you know, some people would be on TNA, they'd be working like a sunglass hut in the mall.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Bonaduce, yeah, watch
knockout,
like, but
knockout champions,
right?
Working at, yeah, Taylor Wilde was also working at the mall.
Right. Danny Bonaduce, like, I just randomly one day, like, watched his biography on, like, Biography Channel, and he said the only thing worse than being a busboy is being a famous busboy. And I tell people, and people don't listen, but I really believe it, you know, being on TV and having it not portray you in the best light is not the best career decision in the world. And I remember I sat in on the Tracy Smothers shoot interview. They were talking about the Freddie Joe Floyd stuff. And I was sitting there just watching what was going on. And I asked him, so I was like, hey, man, I was like, I got to ask you, like, do you think being Freddie Joe Floyd hurt your career? And he's like, yeah, it did, you know, because if you're going to be portrayed in a negative light or, you know, like, you can't come out of the WWE and charge, you know, $2,000 a shot if you're the guy losing every Saturday. And there's something to that. And that's what people need to think about. You know, like, you can sell your soul, but what price is your soul worth to you? And basically, whenever you get on TV, you're selling your soul for a price, you know, because you're no longer have privacy, you no longer have this, no longer have that. So you got to make sure that that's the right price what you're selling it for. And that's one thing I learned from being on reality TV, you know, with being other things. Like, you know, I sold my soul a long time ago without knowing I had a soul to sell, to be on an MTV show, and a couple of years later, I could have been on a CBS show, you know, for $1 million, and it's just, you know, I sold low, and, you know, hopefully other people, when people come to me about things, I'm like, just don't sell your soul low, you know, make sure that's your peak, because you don't want to ever be portrayed on something when it's not your peak, and I think that, I mean, that's for everybody, man, everyone understands that. You're an NFL player, man, you're in the wrong system, you know, you look like a scrub.
other guys go to other teams, they look like superstars. And sometimes the system's what counts, not just the talent. So,
right.
Hold out for the right system sometimes, man. It's worth it. It really is. People don't think it because everyone just goes for the money right away. But make sure there's not more money on the table a year or two later, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I definitely, you know, it's if you knew now what you knew, or if you knew then what you know now, it's kind of that, you know, reflect on life a lot.
That would be a lot different, trust me. If I can go back and do a lot, like, past 10 years over again, man, it would have been a different, you would have been a different human being. But part of the charm of life is just learning as you go, build your character, and you're in a position you're in because of that. So I'm very happy with where life has taken me, so I have no regrets. But, you know, if I could have done certain things differently, I would have learned that lesson before I had to learn it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely, I bet. So before we let you go, let everybody know what you have coming up, and of course where they can find you, whether it's your preferred method is Facebook, Twitter, whatever the hell.
I hate social media, but I'm always on it. So you got Facebook.com/LarryCDallas. I try to keep it easy for everybody. You got Twitter @LarryCDallas. My Instagram's @LarryCDallas. And I also have a website that's run by a wonderful woman in England. It's larry-dallas.com. I haven't personally updated it. She kind of handles all of it. But it's a really, really professional-looking website, so she gets more appreciation than it does. I have Full Impact Pro next weekend in Florida, mm-hmm. which is Friday night in Ybor City, Saturday night in Orlando. That, of course, will be on wwnlive.com. And then I believe just exactly like 1 week afterwards, we have Evolve on a Friday night in Queens and a Saturday night mm-hmm. in Brooklyn. I might be reversing it, but that's the next Friday and Saturday after that. That's also on WWNLive.com. And whether you're a fan of mine or not, the people that are performing on those shows are the highest quality athletes and some of the best pro wrestlers in the world. And I just always like to remind people, and I hate dropping names, but, you know, the Dean Ambroses and the Seth Rollinses and the CM Punks and the Luke Harpers and the Solomon Crows and the Kalistos of the world, you know, they all came through these same companies. So, you know, the future is the present in the indie scene, and the guys that are at this level are the future. And that used to not be the case because there used to be certain things that you didn't have that they wouldn't take. But, you know, for every Daniel Bryan now, there's a CM Punk before him, and, you know, there's a Dean Ambrose after that and a Luke Harper after that. And the indie guys are becoming the future of the business. And, you know, if you want to see the future today, those are the companies you want to watch. Just support good independent wrestling. Not because you like me or dislike me or agree with my stance on Dragon Gate talent versus non-Dragon Gate talent, just because of the fact that you're going to be on the ground floor of the future. And that's pretty cool.
No, you're right about that. That's for sure. So people can check that out, follow you, and you know, we should definitely. We didn't even get to half the stuff we wanted to get to. So we should definitely do this again in the future.
Because I ramble on too much about random stuff.
No, it's okay though. If it wasn't entertaining, I would have stopped you. So don't worry about that.
Well, listen, Greg. I appreciate you so much. I love your show, and you know, even when all your colleagues hated me, you always stood by me, and I'll always appreciate that. So. Whenever you want me back, you just tell me directly what we want to talk about, and I'll stay on topic for you.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Later.
There we go, Patrick. Another successful interview. We returned with a successful interview, and we successfully ran long.
Well, I mean, it's inevitable. It's always going to
happen. That's what I do!
It's exactly what we do.
Exactly.
But I will say, I think that you know, you mentioned we didn't even get to some of the questions we wanted to ask, but for as much as he felt like he was rambling, there was a lot there that that again, I think that people don't pay attention to. And like, you know, when I look at what I would have taken away from that, like I take away, you know, you talked about it a little bit too during the interview, this idea of what has happened to fans now. Mm-hmm. with the advent of things like Facebook and social media and the internet and news sites. And we run down the news sites so hard a lot of times on this show, but they've been a big factor in contributing to where people have changed and how we've turned a lot of fans into cynical assholes.
No, you're right. And they've also been a huge here and people caring enough to listen to a show like this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's such a double-edged sword. We really do bite the hand that feeds us in so many ways.
Absolutely.
So, but we are going to take a break now. We'll play another musical interlude, and we're going to try a little experiment that we talked about earlier. We are going to see if we can partner with Business as Usual podcast, good friends of 411 Mania, have a little wrestling talk between two shows, essentially a simulcast. I don't know if the technology will let it happen, but we're going to give it a shot, Patrick O'Dowd. So what do you want to go with this time? Which song?
We'll do Bad Street.
All right, the old standby, Bad Street it is.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
All right, so we are now also live on the Greg DeMarco show with Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd, are you there?
I don't know. Am I there?
You are.
There
you
is.
Are.
Greg DeMarco.
And then, oh, there's Steve Cook, and there's hopefully Larry Zonka as well. So we're actually all this actually worked. That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Funky. So, how you doing, Phil?
Who?
I don't... You know your name's Phil. Come on now.
My God.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
Too old a reference. I'm going old school.
I know. That is amazing.
It's been 3 years.
Yeah, long time.
Not quite. Is Larry still there? Did we lose Larry?
Oh yeah, I'm here, man.
Beautiful. Just wanted to make sure that I'm just still surprised it worked. So that's why I'm doing this. So you welcomed us. We are joined now by the Business as Usual podcast, good friends Larry Zonka and Steve Cook from the 411 Mania, and we're gonna talk about some wrestling. And the topic that I gave Larry as we set this up earlier today, and I was 50-50 on if Blog Talk Radio would let this work, but it did. Is sort of the debut of the two newest divas to the WWE roster, the addition of Emma and Paige to the roster, and just how that's gone, and if we think it's gone well, and how we feel about the division moving forward. So revolutionary technology, and we're spending it on the divas. So I don't know if that's good or bad. That's what we're doing. So
why not?
The
divas are fantastic.
Exactly. So all of you fans of the Divas out there, shit, you know, I don't have the You're Welcome soundbite on this network. Oh, well, I guess I won't
Well, then you're welcome.
You'll fix that.
Oh, no, I haven't.
You're welcome!
Look,
there we go.
So
he's doing well.
So,
yeah. Oh.
That's sad. That does make us all sad. Wow. So, Steve, let's start with you. So, Emma debuted first. What did you think of the Emma debut?
I enjoyed Emma's character on NXT. She was the crazy, the quirky dancing type girl. She had the funky dance, and it kind of took a while for people to catch on, but eventually it became really, really popular with the NXT audience. And then, you know, she goes to WWE. She turns up in the crowd. They put her as Santino Marella, and I'm probably the wrong person to comment on this because a lot of other people will probably higher on Santino than I am. I'm not very high on Santino. I mean, he's a good comedy act. He is what he is, but he's not going to help other people get over at this point. And Emma has basically become part of his act. She's got a pink sock she's wearing now. she talks occasionally, but not really. And I didn't notice this until other people pointed it out, but it's been noted that she doesn't look like she's having, like, a fantastic time, which, honestly, I couldn't blame her because, to me, it just hasn't gone well for her. The whole Santino and Fandango food probably should have to stop at some point. It's just not going well for her, in my book. And I think her ceiling at this point is not all that high.
Patrick, I know you're not a fan.
Well, Cook just said everything I was going to say, so now I don't have anything to say. No. Cook kind of nailed it. Well, it was just one of those things. I agree with you 100%. Like, she had something kind of quirky, you know, that was working pretty well in the NXT. Now, I wasn't, you know, particularly, like, wowed by it as much as apparently the fan base there was. But what really stuck out to me and the reason that I don't like it is for all the stuff you just said, that she's really sort of become a prop for Santino. And the nail in the coffin was busting out the pink sock for me. Like, that, like, if you could have seen me looking at my computer when you said she has a pink sock now, I, like, threw my hands out and was like, yes. Like, that's exactly, like, seeing that, I was like, oh, she's now the Santino diva? Like, what? Like, that's terrible. And it sets a bar to a place where, if we were going to take her seriously, we're certainly not going to now.
But if she's any good, and I believe she is, she's going to overcome that eventually. She's going to break from that. She's probably going to turn on him at some point, and she already refutes most of his advances anyway. I just don't see – I don't know. I think, I you know, outside of the traditional boring, show some vignettes and have her debut, I don't think it would have gotten her anywhere. And she'd probably still be down in NXT if she didn't have this. So I don't know. I just don't see – I don't see what – you know, I don't think she'd be in a bad place if they did it a different way. Like Paige. Paige debuted with zero fanfare whatsoever. She showed up out of nowhere and won the Divas Championship. Like, think this was good for Paige? You think it was a bad way to debut Paige? Or is it a diva and we get what we get with a diva?
A diva and we get what we get. My goodness. But she at least got debuted in front of the right crowd, you have to say, because they brought her out in front of that crowd. Me and Larry were talking about earlier the Raw crowd the night after, the European-influenced crowd, where they all love Paige down over there. Why not? She's the British diva. So she got a good reaction from those people. And since then, she's been having matches with, like, Alicia Fox and people like Oksana a couple times, which when you're working with Oksana, you kind of do what you can. It's kind of tough. And I think a lot of people are kind of complaining because she, like, sells for these people and, like, tries to put over their offense and stuff like that. And, you know, God forbid the girl tries a good wrestling match, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, God forbid, because, well, I mean, otherwise she could run through the people in 2 minutes. She's trying. I mean, that's the thing about Paige and her character. She tries to have good wrestling matches. It's worth the effort, and once she gets put with the proper people, it might work out. It's not working against Oksana so much. But, you know, Paige, I think Paige is off to a decent start. She is already the champion, so she's got that going for her. And it's just a matter of who they can put against her, I think, might be her main problem. Maybe she needs some opposition, I guess is what I'm saying.
So can I ask a quick question? Because for me, I mean, I think I see what they're doing with her right now, because it seems like a lot of this is like, we're we've got, you talked about Alicia Fox and Oksana. It's like this whole upstart thing. Like, we've got to like try and take the upstart down. I will be full disclosure. I am not as familiar with her work and the character that she put on NXT. What was the persona? What was the character that she was selling in NXT?
She was pretty much the badass diva from tomorrow. She started off as like the anti-diva, where she was against everything that the divas were supposed to be. That's how she was in like SCW and then like early NXT. And then she kind of became a babyface, a good girl, if you will. And she just became like the alternative type of diva, which, you know, kind of like how AJ was early on, but different. Yeah. Whereas like, you know, she's not sleeping with all the guys for one thing, but you know, she's just trying to, she's providing a different perspective on what a diva can be and what a diva should be. And it got over pretty well with that crowd. And certainly the internet is big on Paige, from what I can tell. I know I'm big on Paige as well.
Yeah. Here's where I want to, like what you just laid out there. This is where I get a little stuck. Because what you just described there isn't necessarily what we're seeing in that. And I guess I could say Greg likes to talk about a playlist mentality. Her debut has not matched my playlist. Whether it's with vignettes or whatever, I thought it was very interesting that they debuted her as being very deferential and shocked. Oh my God, I won.
Yeah.
When that wasn't really what I understood her character to be from NXT, like that, it sounds like it had been developed. That I think would have been something that I, you know, me casual, haven't seen her before, know of her because of, you know, by nature of being a little bit closer to what's going on. You talk about that opportunity to make something sort of fresh and sort of exciting. I think they missed a mark there that they could have hit and maybe have started to really generate interest in a unique diva in a way that now that I feel like they're having to build when they could have built it a little bit faster. Does that make sense?
I'll say one more thing on that. So I would say that last week's NXT episode, they had an interview with Paige backstage where she had the Divas title. She had NXT Divas title as well. And she pretty much explained her whole thing where she came onto Raw and acted like she was deferential Paige and whatnot. And she kind of explained that as kind of a ruse. And they had a good video package for her that really put her over strong, which is kind of weird because on a previous NXT episode, The Arrival Show, they had a great video package for Emma, which really established her character. And there's like this disconnect between NXT and between WWE where I think if they would show these video packages on these girls on the WWE shows, there would be less of a disconnect and people would be more able to understand the characters, which I don't know why they haven't done that yet, and I hope they'll figure it out eventually.
Well, and for me, the biggest thing that I don't want to lose sight of here is the fact that this is better than what they were doing before. Like, you may not like what Emma was doing, but it's better and it's more entertaining. And I think Paige's thing may have been rushed due to AJ wanting time off too. Like that's
sure.
It may not have been the original plan, but AJ. But kudos to AJ. At least she put somebody over before she took her time off. I'm just saying, you know, at least she took
she
the time to the drop the
backstage title. And then like walk out. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And she put over somebody that deserved it too, which might have also played into May AJ is willing to put her over, and maybe not somebody else. I'm just saying.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Who knows? I can't speak on that. That's for sure. So, but looking at the division, like, is the division today? Where's the division at right now? In your opinion, is it headed in the right direction, or is it just going to be more of the same long term? Whoever wants to answer.
I find it hard to put my faith in it because it's been so stagnant for such a long time. I really want to say yes, like this is going to be something that could take the Divas division in a new direction. I felt that AJ was a lot of fun as a women's champ too, as a Divas champ, and was unique. But she, you know, kind of carried the same shtick for quite a few months there towards the end to where that was getting a little tired too.
She outstayed her welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I hope that this is the beginning of something. I just have not sold on it. And much in the same way that I feel like tag team wrestling always gets said that it's coming back every now and again when a couple of teams go on a run here and there in the WWE before we push it back down. I think that I worry that this is going to be a little bit of a refocus, and then, as you just said, maybe falling back into a pattern that we're very familiar with.
And we also have the Total Divas show, which you know, is what it is, I guess you could say. I enjoyed it as trash television, but I'm not sure if it's done a lot for the division in general.
No, I don't think it has. I don't think it has done a lot for the division. I think it's because it's people tend to focus on the negative, and all people care about right now is how terrible the relationship must be for between Natalya and Tyson Kidd. Like, that's really, from what I can tell on Twitter, that's what I got out of that, is that those
two are back on the right track now, apparently.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, we joked about that earlier. I actually want to jump back to Emma for a minute.
Go for it.
The thing was, is like, she got over in NXT. It was one of those things that it happened organically. It happened how it should happen in wrestling. You know, she was a quirky character. The dance thing got over, but at the same time, she was proving that she was a good women's wrestler. And so the fans like the goofy stuff, but when she's in the ring, they react to all the moves, the Emma Sandwich and all the shit she does, and that's awesome. Unfortunately, when they brought her up to WWE, and I'm going to use about a 24-year-old reference here, they made her Homer Simpson. Does everybody remember Dancing Homer?
Oh, boy.
Dancing
yeah.
Homer. It's a Springfield Isotopes game. He gets the crowd going. They go on a winning streak. And he's the hot shit. And then they bring him up to Capital City to do the gimmick for the Capital City Capitals.
Yes.
And he shits the bed. Nobody cared. And that's exactly what happened when they brought her up and had her just start doing the wacky dance. The fans didn't know what it was. They didn't care. There was no reason for them to care. And as Steve said to some people, when you pair her with Santino right away, people have a perception of Santino, and they're like, oh, it's just a chick that's going to do comedy and stuff. So for her debut, it's like there was no like awesome video packages. There was nothing for you to get behind her. You know, you get to the Paige situation. You guys mentioned, I think the important thing to remember is the fact that AJ took time off. So, unfortunately, that doesn't lend to the best booking. I mean, if you're going to do the best booking for that, AJ comes out, I've beaten everybody, I beat everybody in the division last night, I have the title, Paige's music hits, she comes out with the NXT title, I've beaten everybody in NXT, blah, blah, blah. They do a non-title match, you do a nice 7-8 minute match, Tamina fucking cheats for AJ. She gets the win, and then you can book from there, but she had a good showing, and you know she's important. Unfortunately, like you guys said, we couldn't do that because AJ's taking time off. We have to go a different direction. The only thing I worry about is like you do that title win on the first night, it's like the Gail Kim syndrome when they brought her up and did that. It's where does she go from here? I'm not saying it's going to end up poorly, but it's kind of like she comes in and wins the title. What are we going to do now? I mean, is it going to be a long run? Is AJ going to be back in May? Apparently she's supposed to be, because she's supposed to be back on that tour we reported today. So maybe she's back, and maybe we get a nice long feud that actually means something, which would be spectacular for this division, because it's something that I think we all want, and it's something that needs to be done. But then again, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she takes a couple weeks off with her honey and decides she doesn't want to come back. Who the hell knows? And I guess we'll find out soon enough. So I kind of worry about the where do we go from here, but I'm excited she's on the main roster. I mean, I know they waited for a while due to her age and stuff, but like, you know, I watched her stuff in Shimmer. Obviously, no pun intended, she has the proper pedigree to be in the business. I mean, if anybody's seen her mom, that woman scares the shit out of me. I don't know about you guys.
Absolutely.
Dear God. I would not want to get in. You don't want to be. I saw some fans yell at her at a show once, and I'm like, what are you doing? Don't do that. She will kill you. So, but no, I mean, I am more than happy for her. I'm glad she's getting the chance. And I just, they need to, when they did the arrival special, I had said that everything they did with Emma and Paige is what they should be doing on the main roster. You
right.
build a feud. You build to a big show. You have these awesome video packages explaining who these women are, why they're fighting for the title, and why it's important to them. And then, I know this is a shock to some people, the women folk can wrestle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy talk to some people, but the fucking women folk can wrestle. And Paige and Emma had a very good match at Arrival, and it's the fact that there are women on the roster that can wrestle. Give them some time. Stop playing grab ass. Stop doing stupid stuff. Stop throwing. The thing I hate is when they do those random, like, 8-on-8 tag matches that last about 45 seconds, and the only people that are really in the ring are the two that start, and 30 seconds in, all of a sudden you get, like, a big clusterfuck, and then there's a finish out of nowhere. How anyone can develop a reason to care for the women is just a mystery to me, because you can't, because you're not given a chance to. But then you watch the NXT special, it's the same goddamn company. And they're showing you that they can do it, which pisses you off even more. So that's where I'm coming from. It's just do something. Like, the NXT special proved we can do this.
Yep.
These women can work. Now we just need to transition that to the main product and give people a damn chance to care instead of going, oh, the women's match, I know when I'm going to the bathroom. I hate that. I feel so bad for those chicks. It's not that they're not trying. The booking fails them. Jesus, I must have said this about 8 times during Mania weekend. The booking should not hinder the in-ring product. It should help it.
Yeah, and it's, indeed, you know, with the Divas on Mania, like you were talking about, and even beyond that, they can't just overnight change the way they promote the Divas on Raw and SmackDown, mm-hmm, because the fans won't buy into it. It's going to take some time. But they could do it by the end of 2014. They could have a serious Divas division by the end of 2014, if they want to. And I don't know if they want to, because like Patrick said, it could just be a cycle, just like the tag team division, and they could fall right back down into a trap they were in before. So who knows? But
that's the key,
the potential
is all about one, two. Yeah.
The potential's there. It's there's that dreaded P word.
That's a dangerous word, Greg.
Now they just need to do it, and that's it's like Larry, believe Larry said, somebody said, they have to want to, and if they don't want to, we're not going to see it. If they want to, they definitely got the tools to make it happen. So, wonderful. Well, we got to move on to our next segment, but this actually worked. I'm a little shocked, and I'm glad that it did. So we should do this again in the future. Larry, I appreciate you guys doing it.
Thanks a lot. It was a good idea, man. It worked out.
Yep. And, of course, stay tuned to the 411 Mania, as, it's like I told you in an email, Larry. It's like an addiction, and right now I'm using Nicorette. So that's just how it works.
Hotel California, brother.
That's right.
All right.
We'll do it again soon.
You and Phil have a fantastic night.
We will.
Yeah.
Oh, did we hear the muted thing? Like, were they muted us on our show? That's pretty good.
Is that what happened there? Because I was about to wait. Like, I didn't get a comeback on the Phil bullshit. That stuff is 2 years old. And I don't see Papa Don around here lately to be rubbing this in. Like, he's the only one who's earned the right. Like, he's it. He coined the name, you know, some poser Cincinnati Reds fan and a guy I never talked to. I don't need that. What?
I'm just kidding.
They,
he's not being nice.
They get to call me Phil. Phil, who the fuck is Phil?
we all know who Phil is. Come on now. We all know who Phil is.
Phil works at a gas station in Poughkeepsie. That's who that. I'm a broadcast journalist, for God's sakes.
I'm just gonna. Really do appreciate you coming on.
No problem, but my question is, where's this Allie Parker chick? You know, I saw a picture today online. She's looking pretty hot. So where's she at?
Tony Massaro.
Well, you know, you were speaking about Vegas a little bit earlier with that hot, hot girl. She's so humble, by the way.
Red Tide. Thanks for having me, Greg, but I need you to do me a favor.
What's that?
Say what's up to Allie for me, all right?
You know, I got to say, I don't think any guest has ever debuted on the show with so many people talking about them before they ever first appeared on the show as Allie Parker, as you did, Allie Parker. When you first appeared on the show, that was a welcome mat like none other for your first ever appearance on the show.
I know. Thanks for playing that every time I come on. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's so embarrassing.
Kind of happens. That sort of happens around here.
You get on.
That happens around here. We tend to drive things into the ground just a little bit. That's just kind of what we do. So, I don't, you know.
Bury it.
Yeah, it's just, it's part
dust,
of
it. Dust it back off. Throw it down some more. Kick it all over again.
You know, I don't know. I mean, far be it for me to ever play something too often.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
I would never, ever do
no,
that.
No, not at all.
I just wouldn't. There's no reason to. I just let the past be the past, Patrick O'Dowd. There really is no reason to ever just overdo things. That's just not what we do around here.
Nope, not at all.
It's only a two-hour show.
Anybody got time for that?
It's a two-hour show, and there's nothing else that we can do. So remember this one, Patrick?
You have a vagina!
Entire shows turn around that soundbite.
Yeah,
the entire programs centered around that one soundbite. And so there you go, Al. Have we given you enough time to become unread? You're no longer blushing red and now able to join us.
Yes, I'm feeling better now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But more importantly, what's the pants situation? We gotta I gotta know, like, what's up with that? Are you wearing the smart pants? Like, what's
time
happening?
To get off.
Shut up!
Oh my gosh.
Hey, he brought it up.
Twitter's dangerous. You gotta watch out for that stuff.
So Patrick, when you asked the question, did you know I was gonna play the soundbite?
I had a hankering. Like, I had a feeling. You gotta know.
These things happen. These things do happen.
You haven't hung up on us yet, have you, Allie? You still with us?
No.
I don't think so.
She's still there.
She's still there. So yeah, well, Allie's got this thing about it started with just she was just telling people to put their excited pants on. Like, be excited, we're gonna do trivia time with Allie Parker, and we may have taken
I just
that
asked a very reasonable question. I feel.
Why put your excited pants on? Because we're doing trivia tonight. That's why. And that calls for excited pants.
See? Exactly.
See?
I just wanted to know how you
just
knew I wasn't
answer the question.
Pants. Like, that's all.
What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I said, all I wanted to know is how you knew we weren't wearing pants. Like, how did you know that there were no pants, like, that we had to put some pants on, some excited pants on?
I can't tell you how I know that.
I know, but the response was a little, I looked over my shoulder. For those of you listening, the response was, I always know, with a smile and a wink, which I was like, oh. And then I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? And so now I'm a little paranoid.
Yeah. You should be. You should always be looking over your shoulder. You never know when someone's going to club you from behind or watch you when you have no pants on. Things like that happen all the time.
In my world, all the time.
See, here's the thing. Patrick O'Dowd and I are more likely to get clubbed from behind, Allie, whereas you're more likely to have somebody trying to watch you without pants on. Like, we live separate lives.
Let's
be honest.
Wholly different worlds.
We do. We do, in fact. But that's okay. That's you know, it is what it is. It took us a long time before we used that phrase, Patrick O'Dowd, today.
It is.
So that's okay. That is all right. Allie, how are things going for you now that we've effectively derailed everything?
Great. I have some pretty intense allergies going on right now. So if I'm sniffly or coughing, forgive me. It's like a tornado out in Vegas right now. It's insane. I don't know what's going on here.
A tornado of strippers and hookers and drugs because it's no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I like, dude, what?
It's all just getting inside my nose and making me stuffy.
Yes. Except the drugs, the people. Just strippers and whores and Allie's nose. No drugs. That's right. Because that's what happens. That's I think I got a Pimpin' Ho soundbite, Patrick O'Dowd. I can play
Greg
that one.
DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Pimpin' these hoes!
Cut that off before it goes on for another 12 seconds. We don't need to do that. So, yes, allergies do suck, Allie Parker. That's just something that we, some of us have to live with. I suffer big time. But, you know, a little Claritin and everything's okay. So.
Okay.
So wonderful. Let me see. There it goes. So do you have anything coming up? I want to make sure we have the opportunity to let people know what's going on before we go down into our game, because the game will probably continue before we actually before the show gets cut off live. And I want to make sure the live listeners have the opportunity to hear what you have to say and what you have going on. So what do you have coming up where people can follow you before we have some fun and play some trivia time?
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at TheAllieParker, which is TheAllie Parker, PARKER. And then Facebook is Facebook.com/AllieParkerWrestling. This Sunday I will be in Port Hueneme, I don't know if I said that right, with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and with the Sutton Family Boys as Kylie Sutton. We're going to do a TV taping. It's going to be super fun. If you're in that area, you should totally come out. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. I have so many things. I'm going up to Oregon, and this is a new booking, so I'm not positive. It'll be on my Facebook. That's the May 3rd and 4th. Then Adrenaline Unleashed, May 10th, against Mary Elizabeth Monroe. Super excited because I got to wrestle her a little bit on the East Coast. So we're going to take it over to the West Coast, and I'll show her what's up on the West Coast. And then, let's see. Oh, I have AWS Women's Battle, which is super exciting. I'm so excited to be on that. There's so many amazing girls from all over that are going to be on that show, and that's May 31st in, I think, Bell Garden, California. May is so packed, so if I forgot. Oh, and then, no, Arizona. IWS, I will be there May 18th. So I'll be in your neck of the woods, Greg DeMarco.
That's what we like to hear,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I have more coming, so grab me on Facebook, and I will keep you posted. I'm so excited. I have so much going on. It's really fun getting out there, and a lot of new stuff, too, so I'm so excited about it.
Did you just tell people to grab you on Facebook? I don't know
if you want to.
You want to invite that. I don't know if you want to make that invitation.
Don't do it like that, baby.
It could get
bad. My problem is I don't think filthy like you. I just think like, oh, yeah, hey, do this. And then everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Greg.
I'm not answering. I'm not responding to that at all. I'm not.
You shouldn't.
I choose not to.
Do you remember the time that Allie Parker almost got to do her trivia game, but we kept derailing everything with sexual jokes? that was a pretty fun show.
That was a good show. That was a good show. Are you ready with trivia, Allie?
Oh, I'm ready. Okay, so
trivia time with Allie Parker.
Yay, I love my song.
See?
It's so fun. Okay, so it's the two of you guys that are, is anyone calling in, or we're just going for you guys?
We're just going to roll with it. We'll roll with it.
Okay. All right, so.
Hang on, let me, now I have different background music. That was just the theme song. Now we need the background.
like, turn that thing down, good Lord, man.
It only starts like, loud. So.
Bless my eardrums.
Eh, you know. I need to have some fun. That's okay.
All right. The categories are, for whoever is picking first,
classic WWE, Attitude Era WWE, and Modern Era WWE. So whoever is up first, you pick, and I will read off three questions. Well, however you want to do it. I'll read off a question, and we'll see how you do.
So,
Patrick
O'Dowd, you pick your first category.
I'll pick the, well, you know what? I think last time I bombed out pretty badly doing the classic WWE. It was a little embarrassing. So we'll jump to the other end of the calendar. I'll do the modern WWE this time around. Let's see how I do.
And now, and so if Greg DeMarco show personality number one is wrong, does number two get to steal? Are we allowing stealing?
Well, sure.
Allie Parker,
the rules of the game are very fluid.
They are. And Allie Parker is not easily influenced by others. That's okay.
Okay, so what we'll do is go down the card because it's big events, championships, and superstar bio. So if he gets all three, then he's the best.
Wins nothing, basically. All right. Yeah.
Yes.
Big events. Question. Who forced Triple H to tap out in the main event of SummerSlam 2012?
Who forced what? I'm sorry, was it? Who forced Triple H to tap out?
Yes. SummerSlam 2012.
Is that CM Punk?
No.
No, damn it, I forgot.
No. It's a soundbite I wish I had, actually, Patrick, right now.
I'm embarrassed. I'm tired.
I wish I had a soundbite of Paul Heyman screaming,
Brock
Lesnar. I wish I had that, but I don't.
Hate that. Like, this tells you how little I care about Brock. I cannot stand any of it. I've hated it from the get-go. That's fine. Okay, I'm 0-1, and you got the steal. Congratulations.
Okay, so are we still going down this card?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay. All right, so championship. The question is, what runner-up in 2004's Tough Enough series went for, what runner-up in 2004's Tough Enough Season 4 went on to win the WWE Championship in 2010?
Oh, God, I never watched Tough Enough. The Miz?
Yes, you are correct.
Damn. I was like, I think The Miz was on Tough Enough. Go.
All right, final question on this card, superstar bio. What original member of the Nexus was kicked out of the group only to rejoin the WWE team that faced the Nexus at SummerSlam 2010?
Oh, wow. I think he might be champion right now, right? That Daniel Bryan character.
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes.
It was bad enough I messed up the Brock Lesnar one. Could you imagine the outpouring of hatred had I blown that question?
That would have been bad. Yes. I was going to play the yes soundbite, but then I realized it would screw up the game show music.
It would.
On the back that you complained about.
Okay. All
excellent.
Right,
so not bad.
Breathe.
I will go, because then we'll have to do the last category together. So I guess I'll go. Well, see, I did Attitude Era last time, didn't I?
I don't even remember, but I know that's kind of your wheelhouse. So
I'll go classic, and then we can do Attitude.
My worst. Attitude is my worst. I'll own that.
We'll team up on Attitude. We'll go classic. Because I think with classic, there could be a chance where maybe you get to steal from me. So
I'm more of a classic babe anyway. I like classic.
You are a timeless classic.
Yes. I just grabbed the card. Classic. Big events. Question. Who re-entered the 1997 Royal Rumble when no official saw his elimination and went on to win the match illegally?
That would be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You are correct. Yay! There's no soundbite for yay. But there
it is. It's way better than a soundbite would have been.
Oh. Okay, championship question. What team defeated Strikeforce for the World Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania 4, I think, buddy?
This is isn't fair, Patrick O'Dowd. Like this is you should have this question. Like you can answer. You probably knew the answer before she even got halfway through the question.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, I want to allow you the opportunity to answer.
No. This is your question, Greg. You get to answer it.
Okay.
What a nice gentleman he is.
Yes. I could be screwing up my WrestleManias, but I don't think I am. I'm going to go with the Brainbusters.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
You're wrong.
Who was it then? Demolition?
Demolition.
I'm trying to remember. Was it Demolition?
Demolition, because the Brainbusters beat him at WrestleMania 5 when Rick Martel, returning from injury, leaves Santana behind to take the pin.
See, I said I might be... Might be screwing up my WrestleMania than it was, so.
You are.
Still
you flip.
Still wrong.
Wrong.
If you get this next one right, you guys are even. So.
Ooh.
Better get it right.
Maybe I'll do the job, Patrick O'Dowd, since we're on the inside.
You can do an SD Jones. Go to town.
I could. I watched,
that's a third jobber
the
that
classic.
I've mentioned on this show, by
the way. I watched the classic WWE Network. I watched Old School last night on the network and watched SD Jones win a match.
Who did he beat?
I don't even remember.
Special Delivery Jones beat somebody?
Maybe it was one of the Moondogs? Yes, it was one of the Moondogs. And I believe it was Spot, and they kept calling him Spotty. And he won with a headbutt. And Gorilla Monsoon was waxing poetic about how SD Jones was on a winning streak.
Oh. God rest his soul.
Yep.
So let's see if you get your last question. This is for the
tie. This is for the tie.
Okay, superstar bio. After Earthquake killed Jake the Snake Roberts' pet snake Damien, what was the name of the bigger snake Roberts started bringing to the ring?
Oh, I have no freaking idea. Lucifer? I don't know.
Yes, you're right.
Lucifer,
seriously?
Yeah, yes, you are absolutely
right.
That was a guess. I will openly admit that was a complete guess.
You don't remember that?
I remember everything. I remember what she's talking about. I remember Earthquake and how many millions of times they showed us the replay of him doing his butt splash on the snake and not really landing on it. And I remember the new snake, and it was, like, orange in color. I just didn't remember the name of the snake. But
yeah.
Lucifer made the most sense, and the first one was Damien, so.
Oh, yeah.
Gross snake.
I don't like snakes either. That's, like, my biggest phobia. Like, my only phobia is snakes.
I do have to say, though, I won't watch snakes, but I loved and I always watched when the Cobra came out at the Randy Macho Man Elizabeth wedding. That was awesome. I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. This guy's nuts.
See, when you said Cobra,
I thought
we were going back to the Santino discussion. And I was going to
talk about it. See, now, when she brought up the Cobra, I thought you were going to talk about the very disturbing sequence in the ring where they show, where they let the Cobra attack him repeatedly.
Yeah, that too. They're crazy. Like, they're just crazy, some of these things. Like, I would never let someone for wrestling have a snake bite me. Like, I can't even stand looking at a snake. And then to have it, just on camera, oh, he's a brave man. I would probably flip out of my mind.
A lot of trust.
A lot of things people do for the wrestling business. So, by the way, if you're listening live, you got about a minute and a half before the live feed gets cut off, but we got more questions to ask, so listen to the archive, and then, of course, you can hear Patrick O'Dowd and I with our quick hits before we go off the air. So we are tied now because of my lucky guess.
Yes.
All tied up.
We've also lost our music, so Patrick O'Dowd, cover your ears.
Oh, they're bleeding!
You might want to clean up that wound. So we're going to cover Attitude Era. And so do we call it a tie, Patrick O'Dowd, and we tackle the Attitude Era together? Or do we alternate questions?
Here's the thing is, with this game hinging, if we let this game hinge on the Attitude Era, I'm going to concede the victory to you, because there's no way. Like, I didn't watch wrestling for a significant period of the Attitude Era.
Yes, I know.
That was during the hiatus.
How about we do one from each category? That way it's all mixed up.
I mean...
So not the Attitude Era? I'm confused now.
No,
well, what,
there would be one...
Yeah, go ahead, Ali. I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay,
we'll
just
do it. Since there's three questions, we'll just do one from each.
Sure.
Okay. We will start with Attitude. How about that?
Yes. Now, who's going first?
whoever feels
they would
like to go.
Hang on, I got to fix the volume. The volume suddenly went up. Okay, there we go.
We got to write some rules for this game the next time around.
I don't think we do.
In,
I think it's better without
them. In the event of a tie, Gorilla Monsoon rises from the grave and chooses one winner. You know, something bizarre. I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
I'm trying to find something really difficult, but...
It's Attitude Era. You're already there. Find the easiest Attitude Era question you can for Patrick O'Dowd.
And he'll still miss it.
He will. The answer is Mankind.
I did give my mom some like tips when she was playing this game against my brothers. I was like, if it's in the Attitude Era, just say like The Rock, or like if it's in modern, say Rey Mysterio, you'll get that really well. Like a lot of them are the same thing. Okay, or Stone Cold.
Yes, of course.
Let's see. I'm trying to find a good one. Okay, this is really interesting, and okay. Let's see if you guys know this one. Attitude Era Championships. Question. In what type of match did Mankind and Chainsaw Charlie defeat the New Age Outlaws for the World Tag Titles at WrestleMania, I think that's 14. I'm not sure.
Oh, God, I remember the match.
Was it just a hard... I think she asked this one last time.
No, she didn't.
No, I've never even... I don't even know.
Okay,
because it was like a hardcore rules match. Mm-hmm. I remember they got put in the dumpster. Like,
yes.
They closed it with a forklift. I remember the match.
So if a match that ends with a casket is a casket match, a match ending in a dumpster would be a...
Was it a dumpster match? Was that what it was called?
It is a dumpster match.
I distinctly remember that match. I did not realize that it was actually like named a dumpster match.
Attitude Era.
There you go.
Final.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
So me, sort of.
We're a team, Patrick.
Thanks.
We're a team.
Thanks, Coach.
That's right. Okay, so now it's my turn.
Okay. All of these are really easy. So that's, you're going to know all of these. I'm trying to stump you. Okay, this is going to be modern era.
Ooh, the modern era. You're trying to stump me with the modern era. I'm saying this now. Watch me get it wrong.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar.
I'm setting myself up big time here.
Yep.
Okay, superstar bio. What superstar won the first season of NXT?
Wade Barrett. I couldn't even think of something funny to say.
Yeah,
now, Patrick O'Dowd would have known. Patrick would have known that one.
Yeah, you hesitated, though.
Well, I had to make sure, like, I wasn't, like, thinking of the wrong season. You know, I was in the back of my mind, don't screw this up.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that you didn't, like, confuse shows. You could have, like, accidentally thrown Tough Enough in there or something, you know what I mean?
Johnny Curtis. Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Caitlin. It just wouldn't have been good.
Nice.
Yes, Loki. Caval.
Oh. Wah-wah.
Wouldn't have worked.
So that leaves us with the classic era.
Okay. This is why I love the classic era, because as soon as I read one of these questions, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know this, and I love these people, these characters. They were so fun and silly. So
Coco Beware.
I definitely love them. Huh?
I'm just shouting out names.
This one's really easy, and if you don't get it, I'm going to I'm going to shake my head at you.
So, bye, Patrick.
This is under Big Events Classic. What was the name of the evil dentist that faced Bret the Hitman in Nash at SummerSlam in 1995?
Dr. Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Yes, it was.
Gain. He was also Fake Diesel.
Fake Diesel.
I remember that. That was about the time when I went, okay, we've jumped the shark a little bit here. Knocking.
That was bad. That was real bad. And
you
when Kane,
though, man, you've got to give him credit. He stuck with the company with every gig. He did exactly what we talk about. You take the gimmick and you sell
That's right.
it. Run with it, and eventually good things will happen. And now he's got one of the long-tenured gimmicks in the history of the company.
And I really hope Dr. Isaac Yankum DDS comes up in his Hall of Fame speech when he gets inducted.
Oh, please do.
I hope it does. Because I think Kane has a sense of humor. And so I think that it would be quite fun to hear him talk about that. So, but,
you know,
I mean, if he didn't bring up Dr. Isaac Yankum DDS Patrick Redoubt, is that worse than Shawn Michaels not mentioning Marty Jannetty? I'm not sure.
Ooh, that's tough.
I don't know.
Why'd you have to go there, man?
Poor
Marty.
I mean, Edge did mention Christian a lot. Like, I'm just saying, Marty.
Well, yeah, but they weren't exactly on the best of terms.
Oh, I know. I think it's stupid, but whatever.
Yeah.
So there you go. So is that it? Are we going to end with 9 questions? We should just keep going. We got time.
I have a fun one that I just want to ask. Because I like the classic ones, so they excite me. Okay, Superstar Bio. Although
we're here, Allie.
People...
We're here to excite you. I just wanted to make sure you know that. Like, that's the sole purpose of this show is for the pure excitement of DeMarquette Lucky Number 7, Allie Parker.
I think I need some slot machines chiming in the background next time you say that.
I have this if it'll play.
Aw, shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
We don't have any slot machines. We really don't. We don't.
Oh,
now we have
you
no
need to come to Vegas and record some.
I bet I could find them without having to go to Vegas. I'm just thinking.
No, I think you can take a trip to Vegas. Paid expense trip to Vegas.
Expense paid, that's right. And I'll write it off on my taxes as a business expense.
You do what you gotta do.
I had to get a sound bite for the Craig DeMarco show. That's gonna that won't get audited. Nope. That would go over just fine.
I think
all right. Good. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take control of my game here.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. You own it. otherwise your mother's gonna have to get involved and Allie Parker's mama, when she, yeah, we've had, you know, we had Tony's mom on once, so we could have Allie's mom on. Why not?
Yeah. She, actually, another.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Poor Brodus. Okay.
She might actually pop in because I'm at her house, but she's not here right now. So if she does, you'll hear her. She's
Wait,
loud.
Someone, Patrick O'Dowd, get Jim Roberts on the phone.
I know. Well, I've tried to get a hold of Jim earlier. Where is he at? We've been talking ladies wrestling all evening.
He'll listen at some point.
You know what it is? We haven't been on the air so long. He probably thought we gave up the show.
I thought we canceled the show. He stopped making memes for us. I noticed that.
Well,
okay.
Anyway, let the woman ask a question for crying outside.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, so back to this. This is under Classic Superstar Bio. Although most people remember Paul Bearer as Undertaker's manager, the dead man debuted with a different manager. Name him.
Brother
TV.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, was he?
The red face man.
Is he in the Hall of Fame? No, Bruce Pritchard.
No, Bruce Pritchard is in the Hall of Fame.
No, probably never will be.
No, never say never.
You're right. You're right about
quoted
that.
Quoted Justin Bieber.
I think someone said it before him.
I don't know. Okay.
I really hope so.
I'm pretty sure people said that before that person was born. Just thinking. Just
true,
me
true.
Thinking out loud. So, how do you even know that? Like, is it? Does he have? Is that a song that he has out right now, Allie? Like, is that?
Yeah. I think he has a movie too. It's like Never Say Never, like that.
That was pretty. You entered the wrong field. You should be in music.
Right. I mean, that was my next avenue. This didn't work out. Music.
You're in the right. You're in the right city. There's plenty of shows you could become a part of.
Yeah. Guys, I want to ask you this question. It's so easy, but I like to ask them because then we can go back and think about that moment, like what wrestling was like at that time.
That's right. This game is but a springboard for discussion. We should really go back and spend a good 20 minutes on the dumpster match.
Because
that was a classic.
That was a negative 5-star match.
I like that he just says, that was his first reaction.
Well, it was, you know, we're real here on this show. It's a real show.
All right, you ready for this one?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to take you back to 2001. This is Attitude Era. Kurt Angle doused the members of the Alliance with a hose from what type of beverage truck in August 2001?
Milk truck.
Patrick? Yes.
Yep.
Milk truck. The milk bath.
The milk bath, because we'd had beer baths. We've had all kinds of stuff thrown at the ring. Yeah,
was the Eddie Guerrero garbage truck before or after the milk bath? And could that have been any more stereotypical? I'm guessing it was after because he wasn't. His big main event run was during the quote unquote ruthless aggression era.
Which hasn't ever been mentioned again since the era existed. So
they brought it up recently, I thought. I thought JBL mentioned it on commentary a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. I feel like they've wiped that just as easily as they've wiped certain other names from programming. I mean, I do, honest to God, like Chris Benoit and the Ruthless Aggression era don't exist in the WWE.
Because I think the Ruthless Aggression era was basically named that for Benoit, so
exactly.
Probably why it doesn't exist. So what era have we been in? The PG era, then? Is that what that one is known as?
Well, they're calling it the modern era. We call it the PG era.
Well, now we're in the reality era.
According to the quiz show that was put together by the company, that era ended, I guess, then, what, last year? 2 years ago?
Which one?
The modern era, whatever we're calling it.
The modern era?
Yeah.
I don't know. Allie, you need a new game. Oh, well, Allie's game calls it the modern era, so.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
This
here
game was put out in 2013. So modern era is pretty current.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm down. I can deal with that. So,
okay.
Actually, we need like a speed round. This game needs a defined ending than just the three of us like, all right, we're good. Like, it actually needs a set finish. It needs a grand finale,
like,
Patrick. Yeah.
Well, the way you win in this real game is you're supposed to collect all. It's actually a really long game. It takes forever. We couldn't even finish it. But you win all the belts.
Oh, we get a lot of extra time. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I did just get a card that says I can advance to WrestleMania, so I think I'm going to pull this out next time I have a match and just say, well, no, here, I have this card, so that I can go to WrestleMania.
There you go. So
there you go. But then it only works if you turn around, walk out the door, and don't go back. Like, that's the only way it works. Because if you go back in and wrestle the match, then the joke is lost.
There you go.
Instead of pulling a vet card, I'm going to pull my WrestleMania card and say, sorry, I'm just going to WrestleMania. Forget you.
I'm going to WrestleMania. And then we need a bigger budget to do this. But then the sign needs to drop from the ceiling, and you just stand in the ring and point at the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Because if you're going to go to WrestleMania. If you're going to go to WrestleMania, you got to point to the sign. That's how you go
to WrestleMania. Because if you don't point to the sign, people won't even know that you're interested in going to WrestleMania. And so you point to, it's like Patrick O'Dowd. It's like if you don't give the international symbol for I want the belt, then the
how do they know you want the belt?
You can't even issue a challenge if you don't give the international
symbol. It's right. Like, I'm doing that right now, actually. I'm doing the belt motion.
I'm pretty sure. Look, here comes my son asking me if I want a belt. Not really. He's sleeping. But it's
you better have pants on when you're doing that.
No. Actually, I got total full disclosure here. I would totally, like, I'm that sleazy. I win a belt, no pants. Just the belt.
Which is ironic because a real belt is actually made for pants.
Exactly. No, I'm talking the belt, big belt. Come on, you tell me that nobody's done that.
Yeah, there's things on the internet where people do that.
What? There's things on the internet?
I can't believe it's frowned upon.
Well,
imagine the next person that gets that belt and they've got your no-nos all over it.
Here's the thing, Ali. I'm not going to be so stupid as to do the selfie picture in the mirror to post for the whole world to see. Nobody got to know about it. I'm in my living room. What?
Exactly.
What?
I would probably do a selfie with that, though.
And that's a selfie I'm actually okay with. If we want to bring this back to you,
which we should. She is a DeMarquette on the program.
She's hosting this train wreck of a game show that has now gotten into. That's the prize. We just figured out the prize. The prize is an Ali Parker selfie and nothing but title belts. Win.
Oh, man.
Photo shoot. Book it.
Photo shoot. Book it. But it's only a photo. But it's the kind of photo shoot that requires a specific kind of camera. It's called a cell phone. There's no other kind of camera you can use in a photo shoot quite like this.
Well, we're going to have to have someone supply a belt because I currently hold no titles in anywhere ever. So
I'm sure somewhere in your mother's home.
We know.
Somewhere in Miss Mama Parker's home there's cardboard and there's aluminum foil. Like somewhere.
No, I'm going to step in on this, Greg. No, we got to do the real deal here. Like, I don't want no aluminum foil belt. What's that?
Okay.
Like, Ali deserves better than that.
Okay.
Like,
so Ali, the next time you come, the next time that dinner is involved, and it's on me, I have a belt that was given to me. I stole it, but I have a belt.
Stole a belt.
I've seen
that belt. I've seen that belt.
You've held that belt with clothes
on.
I
have held that belt.
And I will bring the belt. And I'm not saying
he
has to.
No, he did not put it on my no-nose.
No, he did not put it on his no-nose. He did not.
I think it's adorable
it
that you call it no-nose, though. That's beautiful.
I do, too.
That's the cutest thing ever. Oh, my God.
He put it on his no-nose. No, he didn't. I will bring the belt, and I will not bring it into the restaurant because they might kick us out. But granted, they kicked us out last time, Allie, if you remember.
Yes.
Because
we go all night and we get kicked out.
We were halting renovations, Patrick O'Dowd. We were stopping the crew from coming in and working.
Nice. Well played.
That's what we do. That's exactly what we do. So, amazing. Well, Allie, wonderful job yet again on Trivia Time with Allie Parker. You can keep your theme song. You can keep the Trivia Time with Allie Parker.
Trivia Time. Allie Parker.
I'll stop it right there. Just for the sake of time. Patrick, I won't play the other one, just so your ears are okay.
Oh, thanks, Coach.
I lied.
I lied!
I was hoping you would go there. I tried to find that, and I couldn't. I tried to find that once. That's your new mission, Patrick O'Dowd. Find the Eddie Guerrero I lied soundbite, and I will be prepared.
I'm on it.
Allie, who won the game? Was there a winner?
It was a tie, dude.
It was a tie.
Because that's how I roll!
That's for the
I'm
winner.
I'm going to come up with rules. Things
no,
like this.
I don't know if we can
I need to have control.
Allie, let's talk about this logically. You're never going to control the two of us.
You're not.
We hijack things. We're bad. We're bad for business. We are not what's best for business.
Not at all. No, especially when we take like 3 weeks off, we come back and we're just terrible.
We're a little amped up. I mean, Greg, you're usually a solid B+. Today, you're an A-.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll take an A-.
There you go.
I'm good with that. I mean, I'm beloved. I don't know if you know this, but people
Greg
like
DeMarco, me. I love you.
See? That means something, damn it.
It does. It means that something. I'm not quite sure what it is.
It means something. I don't know what it is either. So, here's the amazing part. Allie has not hung up the phone.
Yeah, like, way to stick with us, Allie.
She definitely has the endurance to. She'll, like she said, all night long. That's Allie Parker.
Well, I'm in the gym a lot, so building up that endurance to sleep all night long.
See, Lionel Richie has made an appearance on the Greg DeMarco show.
There's nothing wrong with Lionel Richie.
There is not. No, in fact,
it's not like it was.
You're welcome.
That's right. There we go. Allie, we will do this again very soon. I promise. Because it is fun. I actually very much enjoy Trivia Time with Allie Parker, which we've affectionately named Patrick O'Dowd, TAP for Trivia Time with Allie Parker, and we're trying to come up with some kind of a innuendo for Allie's game, because, you know, that's also what we do on the show. So.
That's what we're working on, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's in development. It's a work in progress. It's a work
send
in
it down to creative. They'll figure something
that's
out.
That's right. That's right. Creative has nothing for it, so they'll send it back. But that's what happens. So, wonderful. Allie, keep up the wonderful work. Can't wait to do it again soon. And we'll talk to you very soon as well.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So there you go, Patrick. Allie Parker selfie.
Yes. We need to trend that shit on Twitter.
Right, hashtag.
She's just so, so pretty.
Allie Parker selfie. That's what we're going to... I don't have a selfie soundbite. I don't. I can go this way.
Damn!
That's what I can do. At the THEE Allie Parker on the Twitter. There are some selfies on her Twitter. None of them involve a belt. But they're there.
You know, it's probably gonna like for decency's sake. I mean, for her sake. I mean, she's probably gonna need two belts.
She's kind of short. She's a small girl.
That's one hell of a belt. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for it.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Yes, we'll get there.
Time will tell indeed.
Bang bang. Try and stop it. Bang! Bang! Here I come. Bang!
Quick hits.
Bang!
Patrick O'Dowd.
Not a news bite this week, but a recommendation. I just mentioned it earlier in the show. I did a little bit of reading during our hiatus, and I really want to recommend people take a moment and read a book by a guy named David Shoemaker. It's called The Squared Circle, Life, Death, and Professional Wrestling. Really great book that looks at the history of pro wrestling through the eyes of various wrestlers who we've lost pretty much right up until where we are currently in the era. So really neat. It's a neat perspective and a fun way to talk about the history of the industry that I don't know that's ever been done before.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Patrick O'Dowd, as you saw on the rundown, as everybody's about to learn right now, we are down a DeMarquette, officially. We are officially down a DeMarquette.
Yeah.
As a DeMarquette is officially retired from the world of professional wrestling. The queen is dead, long live the queen. Buggy Nova is no more in the world of pro wrestling. DeMarquette number one, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the original.
Is done. Yep, she is finished. She's no longer... doing that thing. She's moved on to some other things in her life. Wants to help people. Wants to do a lot there. And
yep.
That's the choice she's made. And so she is basically our first retired DeMarco. Like, we have honorary DeMarquettes.
So,
we have guilty pleasures, and we have a retiree now.
Dude, I just thought of something. We got to do a DeMarquette Hall of Fame. And we, you know what? I bet you that Hall of Fame music, that really cheesy Hall of Fame music from the old show, is out there somewhere. We got to play it for an induction ceremony.
Now, when you say the old Hall of Fame music,
I mean, like, I'm gonna find it and send it to you.
Okay.
Because there was a very specific Hall of Fame theme song that used to play when they would do the special on USA, and then when they would introduce everybody.
Oh yeah.
And
I'm sure you can find
it. Was very generic, but it was you heard it. And it was the WWE Hall of Fame song. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna find it. I'm getting it.
Of course you
I'm
will.
On.
You
I'm on it. I'm on that. I've already got a YouTube clip that says Eddie Guerrero, I lied, sitting in front of me. So,
found it?
I don't know if I found it, but I've got some options.
All right, good, good. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. So, we're still in the quick hit segment. Hang on.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Next week, Patrick O'Dowd, it is a classic Greg DeMarco show as we gratuitously surround ourselves with beautiful women. That's what we're going to do. Two of them. Next week, Canadian Jules Malone will be in the regular 11 p.m. guest position, and in the midnight hour, SportsX Michelle at SportsX Michelle on Twitter from VerySexySports.com, and we're going to talk about Chris Benoit, one of your I won't say your favorite topics, but one of your most intriguing topics.
There's a lot there. There's a lot there that still isn't completely unpacked. So
that's
always worth a conversation.
There we go, Patrick O'Dowd. Until next week. That's going to do it for us.
All right. Good night, man.
Here you go. Have a good one. Powerhouse Radio, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We'll see you next week.
I'm going to be myself. I'll be everything that I want to be. I am confident in insecurity. I am a voice kept waiting to be heard. I'll shoot the shot bang that you hear around the world. And I'm a one girl of
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
best in all his future endeavors.